United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 25th of March, 2014. And it's cold outside. I've got to check the weather. I haven't done that yet. I was trying to find some new music because everybody talks about my happy song so bad, and now it's everywhere. And so I'm trying to find... So right now I'm at George Duke, but I want you to know today it is 20 degrees. Right now it is 20 degrees. It's going to be a high this afternoon, about 37. That's not high. That's not a high at all. Eric's in the studio with me.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Glad to be with you, Tracy. How are you, beautiful?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Looking forward to having a good day today. Got a lot to talk about. Things are a little fruity, loopy, and nutty.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so how do you like my music? You like my happy better, don't you?
No, I like happy. I've also been a big fan of George Duke. I was very sad when we lost him.
So you know who it is?
I'm very familiar with George Duke.
Yeah. I was trying to pull a surprise on somebody. But I guess that's not working, huh?
No, I'm too big of a... I grew up in the 80s. I love me some George Duke.
He was gone too soon.
Well, yeah, it's sad to see him go.
Actually, I am trying to find... I had a song that I guess made about 5 or 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to go back and find it, and we haven't been able to find it yet. And so it's a George Duke song. It's not one of the ones that were the most noted, and I've got to, don't know which album it was on, don't remember the name of the song, can't remember the beat of the song, just know it when you hear it.
Yeah, it's called Sweet Baby, isn't it?
No. That was a mainstream song. Now this one is a side B. It just speaks to what I do and who I am.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been trying to find it. Hey, you know what? Today is open mic. Jeff is having car troubles.
Again?
You know.
Poor fella.
Poor baby.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. Happens to the best of us.
And so the number is 347-945-5229. What you been up to?
Oh, well, just doing my usual, working on my blog, deciding what...
Tell us a little bit about your blog. I don't think we've done that on air yet.
Well, the name of my blog is Glen Cairn Presbyterian.
Why is it Glen... What? It's what?
Glen Cairn Presbyterian.
Who was a Glen Cairn?
Well, Glen Cairn's the title that I'm proud to be able to lay claim to from Scotland. It was created in the peerage of Scotland over 500 years ago. And it was very instrumental in supporting the reformer John Knox pursuant to the ascendancy of the Presbyterian faith over Scotland.
Who was Glen Cairn?
Well, Glen Cairn was the title, but it was his name was actually Alexander Cunningham. He was the fifth Earl of Glen Cairn, and he bore the sword of state in the coronation of the infant James in 1567.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
So that's the name of your blog?
Glen Cairn Presbyterian, and it addresses a lot of what's afflicting the Presbyterian Church and the mainstream, and it's... Well,
tell us, when you say Presbyterian Church, what are you saying? I mean, are you talking about a religious sect? Are you talking about a denomination? What are you talking about?
Denomination, yeah.
And most people that are not Catholic that are Baptist or Presbyterian, would you say that?
No.
Are they considered Presbyterian?
No. Presbyterian is a distinct denomination, and it traces its roots to the Reformation, to John Calvin in Switzerland.
Who's John Calvin? Who are these people? Do you know anybody in America? No.
A lot of people have heard of John Calvin.
Who's John Calvin?
The great Protestant reformer. He was one of Martin Luther's. Well, a lot of people trace him in their soteriological trajectory, if you will.
Martin Luther King?
No, Tracy.
What?
The Reformation.
What Reformation? Martin Luther King, right. The Reformation of African Americans in the 60s, yeah.
I'm talking about the Protestant Reformation, religious movement in Europe that led to the birth of Protestantism in the 16th century.
That wasn't Martin Luther King, huh? Well, who's Martin Luther?
Martin Luther was the man that posted the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517. And within 40 years, Protestantism was firmly established in roughly half of Europe.
Okay, keep on going. You know, I got to stop you and ask you these questions because we don't know. Because I'm just on a roll, huh? Okay, go ahead.
John Calvin, on the other hand, was Luther's French counterpart. He was a lawyer by profession, and he ended up in Switzerland. And, you know, from that day to this, Geneva, Switzerland has become known as Protestant Rome. And John Calvin is regarded as, you know, the virtual mortal founder of the Presbyterian faith. Didn't mean to lose you there earlier.
You lost me. Let me ask you this. How did you get so involved? What made you so enamored with this Reformation, Protestant, Calvinist, Martin Luther King thing?
No, not Martin Luther King.
Same thing.
No, not quite. Not at all.
Same thing.
No, Tracy.
Okay.
I attribute my predilections toward Calvinism.
Did you say predilections?
Yes.
Spell it.
Predilections.
And predilections means?
Tendencies.
Okay, just checking. Predilection. That's another four-syllable word. Okay. You know, I play words with friends, so I need to get as many words as I can so I can know predilections. Okay, got a new word.
Hey, America, I'm sitting across here from a very cute, precocious girl. I want to let you all know that.
Thank you very much. We got predilections. Okay, keep on going.
Okay. I attribute my predilections toward Calvinism the same way a grizzly bear would attribute his strength, or a mountain lion his stealth, or wolves their cunning, or an eagle his extraordinary sight.
Dude, you're from the south side of Youngstown. How in the world did you get to the predilections of Calvinism and John Luther? Dude, it doesn't matter where you are. No, yeah, it does. You got to No. You don't come from the south side of Youngstown with predilections and Calvinism from the Scottish Rite. That's not how that works. No, you read it in the book and said predilections. I got it. What? I mean, your mom introduced you to the Protestant movement. You found you saw something. You ran into something. Something sparked your interest, because Martin Luther King was not in.
No. Martin Luther.
That's what I said. Martin Luther King was not in South High School.
Martin Luther.
That's what I said.
No, that's not what
Martin
you said.
Luther King was not in South High School. So, since Martin Luther King was not in South High School, your predilections are the Protestant faith school. Dude, you from the south side of Youngstown. You still live on the south side of Youngstown. Ain't no Martin Luther King ain't on the south side. They got a Martin Luther church over there, though.
That's a Lutheran church.
Well, I thought you said we were Protestant.
Well, Lutheran is a Protestant denomination, as is Presbyterian.
Okay, so Presbyterian, Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a Protestant denomination.
And so you're talking about Presbyterians.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they name it Martin Luther?
Well, because they're Lutherans. That's a Lutheran church.
But I thought Martin Luther was Presbyterian.
No. John Calvin and John Knox were.
That's what I'm saying. How'd you get here? You got Martin Luther. He on the south side. He had a church. Martin Luther King had a church on the south side.
No.
Right there on Hemrod.
Tracy, quit saying that.
Hey,
stop it.
Hey, Alabama, what's going on, Doc?
Yeah, I find this interesting. I don't call myself a Calvinist, but I do agree with the TULIP. What is it? Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints.
Perfect. Yes,
I'm from the west side of Montgomery, like the hood, basically. But when I was at Tuskegee, a guy, we were involved with a ministry, and the guy went to a PCA church, and we went there, and I mean, it was real sound with the doctrine, real, I mean, they studied, I mean, it was great. I mean, I don't necessarily call myself any names, though, because I mean, I just don't, Calvin, the truth existed before Calvin was born. I just don't look at it like that. I understand that those are the handles that we use to describe certain doctrinal issues and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think it's, I agree with it. But to a certain extent, I do kind of, certain things about the church when I went to it, I just didn't get up with, like, they don't clap, they don't. You know, certain instruments, I think they just go a little too far with the doctrine. But that's PCA, of course. But, say it again.
They don't clap?
Well, not all of them are like that. But, I mean, they go to Psalms 150. I mean, not 150. They go to certain Psalms and say, well, look, they don't have this instrument. They don't have this. And look at this. And so they try to say it's a certain way. And then, and with us, a lot of us were African-American students coming in, and there was an issue with that. A lot of people just started leaving the church. Certain people didn't like us. They didn't like the emotion. They thought we just wanted to scream and run around the church. There's a book by a guy named MacArthur called Charismatic Chaos, which I agree with most of what he's saying in the book. But he was just saying that they were just saying that that's how we were going to be, which wasn't the case. But they were just a little bit too stoic for me. So, and some other things like infant baptism, I just didn't see it.
But you know about Calvinism.
Oh, yeah. Arminianism is the opposite. They got their own form of, they got their own TULIP. And you go through this systematic theology book, man, we break all that down. I mean, we talk about covenant theology versus, what is it? I forget, it starts with a P. I can't remember it. I think he knows dispensationalism versus covenant theology.
Yeah,
so
dispensationalism
they go
is not compatible with our beliefs at all.
So what? Wait a minute. Hold on. So you're a Calvinist.
I'm a Calvinist. Yes.
Yeah. And Calvinism is a religion? Is it a belief system or is it a
theology? It's a set of principles derived from the word. I don't like to say a religion. I just say it's a set of, I call it God's truth. I mean, if you are a saint, you're going to persevere.
Slow down, Alabama. Crazy. Slow down. I got 2 minutes and 33 seconds before I got to go to take a break. But my question is, I want to know, because remember, you're talking to a group of people and there are a lot of people that have never heard about Calvinism. They don't even know what that means. They never heard the word, probably. And you're saying, well, it's not a religion, it's a belief system. And so I need for you to tell me what you guys sit up and tell me a little bit about the doctrine and or the beliefs of this belief system, because a lot of people may fall into Calvinism just like they fall into conservatism and not know it.
True enough.
Because when you talk about conservatism, most people, if you go through what a conservative truly means, more people than not would line up to it. But because they've demonized the word conservative, I'm not that. I'm liberal. But if you look up if you really look at your thoughts and your principles and your ideologies and what you believe, you're really a conservative. You just don't vote that way. You align yourself with someone else. I want to check out Calvinism because Calvinists, if I'm not mistaken, they're quite conservative also.
Very much so.
And I need to know what y'all believe because I didn't find out Calvinism is what's it called? It wasn't the word. What's the word? It's a P word. I forgot the word already. Oh crap.
Protestant.
No, I'm not Protestant. I got that word. It was my new four-syllable word.
Well, Alabama, I need you to hold on the line because you and I got a good synergy going here on the air.
Yeah, he's up here clapping and you're ready to do a shout.
No, he's not going to clap and shout.
I'm talking about you.
No.
You don't clap?
No, definitely not. No.
Why don't you clap?
Because we
I focus on, again, the doctrine. I believe in a certain kind of punctilious, chiseled, sculpted, academic approach to theology.
I'll be back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Don't miss the 2014 Women's Rally in the Valley, April 26th at Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. Find out more about this life-changing event. Visit womenofhisvision.com. Entrance bands are just $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Get yours at Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout in Youngstown, Specialty Fab in North Lima, Trolio Screen Printing in Boardman, Ryan's Chair Hair Care and Treatment in Youngstown, Victory Christian Center in Coitsville, and Victory Christian Center in Youngstown.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial, 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is 27 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. I've got Eric Wells in the studio with me. And I was talking to him a little bit earlier, and, you know, I haven't had, you know, you guys may not know who he is. And he's a friend of mine, and I've known his mom for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the brightest men I've met when it comes to just knowledge that I would never even closely just whatever. You know, I'm just not there, and I'm not going to act like I am because I'm not. And he's highly intelligent. He's a wordsmith in a lot of ways. And then he'll start reciting stuff like, I'm like, dude, what possessed you to like remember all of that and recite it verbatim? Don't even go there.
But, yes, ma'am.
And so when I had him, he and Jeff were here. While I was gone, I had to tell them, you know, leave notes behind saying, listen, don't go deep, y'all, because you'll lose everybody sitting on the floor. Or everybody will be sitting up there going, huh? Because they're just deep men. And so I was asking about Calvinism, and I wanted, and all of them was on the phone. Mike, your mic is up also.
Alabama, you're still with us?
Yeah, he's still there. And so I was asking about the belief.
Yeah, I'm here. I just had the thing muted. I'm in my car riding to work, so. It's
kind of,
you know, I know you guys, they always complain when I'm
putting
my mic.
Yeah, because he makes noise. He's got echo in it. Well, but I want to know, what are the fundamental, what are the beliefs of Calvinism? What is it? I did some research while you were, it was during the break, and I looked at Calvinism on Wikipedia. But what is Calvinism?
Calvinism is that which had a very profound impact on the development of this nation, quite frankly. If you want to really see how it operates at the molecular level, get around any constitutional purist, because they will tell you that the Constitution itself was grandfathered, quote-unquote, off of a Puritan sermon that was preached by the Reverend Thomas Hooker on May the 31st, 1638. He was very respected. He was the son of a yeoman in England, and he, from a very early age, showed an uncanny knack for ecclesiastical matters. But he ended up getting caught in a power vacuum because in the 1640s was a very tumultuous time to be in England, 1640s. He got caught in a power vacuum between Charles I and Oliver Cromwell, okay, and Archbishop Laud, who ended up being executed in 1647. So Thomas Hooker fled. He came to America. He caught himself in yet another power vacuum between John Cotton, the famous theologian, the Reverend Increase Mathers, father-in-law, rather, and Pious John Winthrop, who was the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Governor Winthrop held that, you know, adult men should be able to vote irrespective of their standing in the church. John Cotton, on the other hand, held that only men who were in good standing with the church should be allowed to vote. It got a little dicey there. So Reverend Thomas Hooker had to back away from that situation, too. But, and not to get deep, but you're familiar, Tracy, with the saying, God never closed the door without opening the window.
Right.
Reverend Thomas Hooker ended up being the virtual founder of Hartford, Connecticut. And he preached that sermon that I spoke of earlier on, based off Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. And it is that sermon upon which the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut was principally based. The Fundamental Orders of Connecticut was the required reading of each and every member of the original constitutional delegation as per the personal dictum of Washington himself. So if you want to see how Calvinism operates at the governmental level, you need look no further than the mindset of the Founding Fathers.
Okay. But now what does it mean to be a Calvinist? I mean, you said that the Constitution was founded on a, you said a purist sermon?
On a Puritan sermon, yes.
What Puritan sermon was that?
It was, again, by the way, I forgot the name of the sermon itself, but it was based off that scriptural passage, and it was preached by the Reverend Thomas Hooker. What Calvinism means in a nutshell, Calvinism is the only ideology on earth that regards the absolute sovereignty of God and the work of redemption as being just that, absolute. No less absolute in the redemption of his chosen people, the elect, than it was in creation. No fewer than 13 Presbyterians signed the Declaration of Independence, including a Dr. Benjamin Rush. Dr. Benjamin Rush trained several thousand people for the medical profession and was at the helm of the very first abolitionist movement in this country. He was at the helm of that for the better part of 40 years. Speaking of abolitionists, the Reverend John Rankin, another strong Presbyterian man, ended up establishing several free Presbyterian churches throughout the Mid-South. And he laid the blueprint for abolitionists that would really come on and take the national spotlight later, like Henry Ward Beecher, Harriet Beecher Stowe, William Lloyd Garrison. Presbyterians have been at the forefront in a lot of great issues, in other words. We've been most jugular to the vitality of republicanism, of our governmental construct.
So why don't you hear about Calvinism? That's not something that you hear about. You don't hear people talking about that. That's not on there.
In this age of gross pluralism and moral relativism, of course, I guess you wouldn't. Most people try to peddle around the misnomer of separation of church and state, which is a base lie, which is the absolute bane of the Founding Fathers' mindset. That's not what it was at all. That's not what the Constitution says at all. Separation of church and state, you will not find that verbiage in the Constitution. You won't do it.
I know, so why do we keep on it? It was a tax code.
Well, actually,
put it by LBJ, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, who really enshrined that misnomer was a justice by the name of Hugo Black, a Supreme Court justice, who is noted as being one of the more liberal justices that sat on the high court. It was in a landmark case, Emerson v. Ewing of 1947. I never will forget it. It involved using public transportation to take some children that were attending Catholic schools back and forth to school. One of the people named in the brief was a parish priest. Now, what Justice Black based his convoluted perspective on was a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson to the to the Baptist in Danbury, Connecticut, in January of 1802.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson based that letter off of Isaiah chapter 5, I believe. And it was, the gist of it was he was assuring the Baptists that secular interests would never constrict, impede, or girdle the people's freedom to worship.
Right.
It guaranteed freedom of religion rather than freedom from it, which is what the misnomer the revisionists are trying to put out boils down to.
Right.
But Calvinism in a nutshell is the only ideology on earth that acknowledges the absolute sovereignty of God as if it were just that, absolute.
As far as that separation of church and state,
yes, sir.
When he was putting the Constitution together, if you look back over history and look at the Holy Roman Empire, the differences between the Pope and the King of Holy Roman Empire, then he had the Anglican Church that had been established in England. And so he was looking at it from that perspective and saying, we don't need a church that's set up through the government because that causes issues. That's it. It's not okay, you can't have a cross anywhere that anybody can see. You can't have a Christmas tree. Can't say Christmas. it wasn't like it wasn't meant to do that. So that was the misnomer that I didn't know specifically when, but I do know that was why. Because, you know, it's like they say, you know, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
So why is it that we've gotten so far from, I mean, I'm not the brightest, you know, pencil in the drawer, but why is it that we've gotten so far away from that? I mean, because if you listen to the conversation now with the ACLU, they got more crazy stuff that they go after. You can't say Merry Christmas. You can't say Happy Birthday. You can't, you know, have a nativity scene. I mean, stuff that you've been doing for years. They want you to say, no, it's anti-this, it's anti-that.
Oh, the ACLU. Refresh my memory. ACLU stands for the Antichrist Litigation Union, doesn't it?
That's the first time I've heard that, guys. There's a lot of firsts going on here. I didn't know. No, that's not what it stands for. It's the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah, the Antichrist Litigation Union, exactly.
So, if you listen to what they have to say, they are really...
Because the traditional values, the transcendent plenary moral truths, you know, expounded on or promulgated by, you know, the doctrines of the faith are going to be anathema to their mindset. You can't be morally relevant, or, you know, you can't champion moral relativism and be a Calvinist. You can't champion liberalism and be a Calvinist. J. Gresham Machen published a great work, prolific work, Christianity and Liberalism, decades ago. And he was the first General Assembly moderator of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the denomination I belong to. I'm OPC, by the way, Alabama.
What's OPC?
Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're
you don't clap.
No, we're a bit more theologically conservative than even the Presbyterian Church in America.
Is there a OPC here?
Yeah, there's one right over in Pennsylvania. I belong to it. It's like 20 minutes from here.
20 minutes where?
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on. I asked him a question. Where is it at?
It's in Pulaski.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, my issue with that, and some PCAs do clap, it just depends, but my only thinking was, and I know they say, you know, you shouldn't use your logic sometimes. Well, I think logic, you shouldn't get rid of logic when dealing with doctrine. God wants you to use your logic. It's not like you're supposed to be just completely dumb or anything, but just accept things at face value sometimes. You should. My thing is with that. Is just like in life and in the human body, you have to have balance, alkaline, acidity. You have to have balance. I feel as though emotions have been shackled, and I disagree with that. I think that they shouldn't shackle the emotions of people. Now, I mean, of course, order and structure, I understand that. But when people say, hey, no clapping, no, because I don't know. I just think they're going way too far because I look at church and I say, okay, well, you're giving this person glory, or I don't think that way. I just think that's a personal conviction thing that has been made all the way out across the top. Everybody has to think like we do. And in this whole way, the way the elders operate, I disagree with that sometimes. Like, I have a problem. I know you're going to disagree, but I'd love to get some insight on it because I definitely – you know, just that was one of my main reasons for leaving. It's just that I felt like the whole dislodged from the whole doctrine of, you know, emotion. And we even had a discussion about worship. We met, they were talking about the black church and how they'll take a verse and say it 18 times. And I was like, well, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, some of those hymnals, if you go back, some of those hymns that were written, they would take verses and repeat them 18 times. I mean, it's just one of the guys even said, you know, what does he say? One of the elders was like, worship is best to classical music or something. And really, a lot of these hymns are really secular terms, secular songs that we listen to. We don't know it. That's what it was back then. So I'm just trying to see, you know, I guess get some insight into how you view it.
Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's an open mic. I have a friend of mine. His name is Eric Wells. He's in the studio. He's been coming in and hanging out with every now and then. And I know that he does some serious, deep thought about Calvinism and Presbyterianism and Martin Luther King and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to make sure, I wanted to get some insight because, you know.
If you say King.
I got to go there because Martin Luther King is all the same. So, and get into his mind and see where he is so that he can actually give us some clarity, because I believe that all information is good information and you need to know a little bit about everything so that you can go and expand your mind and go look some stuff up. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Austin Town school board members are being tight-lipped about an investigation into an alleged threat made against Superintendent Vince Colaluca. Last year, Colaluca filed a police report claiming board member Harold Porter threatened him during an October 22nd board meeting. The board conducted an independent investigation into the matter and would only say the case is closed and no action is being taken. The owner of the Go-Go Girls Cabaret in Austin Town is expected to be sentenced next Monday. Sebastian Rucci is charged with 8 counts of providing alcohol without a valid liquor license. The hearing was supposed to happen yesterday, but was rescheduled. And pedestrian traffic deaths are down nationally and have decreased in Ohio as well. The report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association says pedestrian deaths in Ohio dropped from 56 in the first half of 2012 to 35 in the first 6 months of just last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BESSRP at participating dealers.
Visit Homeworth Sales and Service on Georgetown Road in Homeworth. 330-525-7161. Online at homeworthsales.com.
The start of the season is right around the corner. So is your local Kubota dealer, where you can get a great deal on a new Kubota RTV right now during Kubota's Get Something Started sales event. Thinking about a new utility vehicle? Why not choose the top-selling diesels in the U.S. for the past 10 years? The flagship Kubota RTV X1100 combines styling with features like a premium all-weather grand cab, extra-duty independent rear suspension, and power steering. Right now, get your own Kubota RTV X-Series for zero down and 0% financing for up to 48 months. If you're worried about green, think orange at the Kubota Get Something Started sales event.
Visit NortheastOhioKubotaDealers.com to find your local Kubota dealer.
Zero down, 0% APR financing for terms up to 48 months on selected equipment now through March 31st, 2014. Not available for rental national accounts or government customers. 0% APR, low rate financing, not available with instant rebate offers. Financing available through Kubota Credit Corporation USA subject to credit approval. Other exceptions may apply. For more information, call toll-free 1-888-465-8268.
It's the hard truth. In today's world, negative experiences quickly find a way to go online. One disgruntled customer, a bad employee, or broken personal relationship can easily post an ill-advised photo, tweet, rumor, story, bad review, and there it is right on page one when you search your name or business online. In the past, you had no way to fight back. Well, now you can. Grab a pen and take down this phone number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-866-345-5673. That's 1-866-345-5673. When you call, you'll get free info. Free info that will show you how a reputation management company can easily build positive online content for you and legally bury negative information. This is not something you can do on your own. Don't lose any more business or miss out on another personal or business opportunity because of what is wrongfully being said about you online. Take control of your internet search results. Call 1-866-345-5673. That's 1-866-345-5673. Hurry, don't delay. Call 1-866-345-5673. 5673 now.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
That you stay, we'll find a way.
Tracy and Friends here on WXLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And Jeff is back in studio, and Eric is here. I think Alabama's on the phone. He's on his way to work. And we're glad to have you with us as you are out doing what you have to do on your way to work, going where you have to go. And I'm going to be stuck on George Duke for a few minutes until I find the song that I'm looking for. So, sorry, guys. And then you'll get a little happy in the middle. Happy's everywhere.
That's an old song you got there.
It's a classic.
Very absolutely.
Your song won't be on that album.
It's my song before. I don't know what year they are in.
Your song is out of 2005.
George Duke.
Close to 2005, right.
George Duke 2005.
Yeah, cool.
You just don't want me to. I haven't gone back too far.
Yes.
Okay. 76 is too far. He's been around a long time. He's an old dude.
Man, I was listening to George Duke when I was 16.
Because you're an old dude.
I'm seasoned a little bit. I'm seasoned just a little
bit. Jeff, why did you want me to play Karaoke Happy?
Because I wrote a new song. Oh, this, just saying it's crappy, okay? When it comes up, just say, because it's crappy.
Hey, I'm about to go. I'll see y'all.
Where are you going?
Alabama.
I got to make this money. Y'all playing. Y'all up there joking.
No. She messing around. She won't sing it's crappy. I wanna hear them sing, Cause it's crappy. Do it again. In time to the song. Cause it's clap along if you feel that Obama cares wrong for you.
Cause
it's crappy along if you know that the president lied to you. Come along, but you know what Obamacare does to you. Because it's crappy, crap along. If you sign, it ain't what you want to do. Crap along if you feel that the room is wrong for you. Crap along if you know that the president lied to you. Because it's crappy, crap along if you know what Obamacare does to you. Because this crappy cup alone, if you sign, it ain't what you want to do. Now I knew that you don't care, then let me down. This Obama says crap, let me down. The Obamacare, let me down. This Obamacare's crap, let me down. This Obamacare. And I have a crappy, crappy, you wait till I finish this one. It's gonna outdo Wasting Away in Barack Obamaville. Come along if you know that the president lied to you.
No.
It's a lie. Turn the hell care along
if you stay. No, wait a minute.
Listen.
No, wait, we gotta practice.
Really poor, it'll work for you.
No, we gotta practice.
But baby, if you work, then you're getting screwed.
Yes. Listen, man.
Cause it's crappy.
No. I can't sing the song until I read the words. I don't know what y'all gonna say. No.
I gotta wait to get some money to go to the studio.
Well, Jeff, you're a prolific man.
Why don't you?
Because you never have to go to the studio.
Why not? Where's your studio at?
Your studio's all over the place. All you need is a quiet room and some background and layer it.
Is my mic on?
Yes,
it is.
Okay. I need tracks.
You can track it with most of the Audition and Sound Booth.
I don't know about Audition. I don't know whether you can track with Audition.
You track it. You can do all that with that. You can find it. As a matter of fact, there's an app for your phone that you can actually do it.
I can't
hey,
wait
Larry
to do
Long.
Crappy.
Larry Long, how you doing, honey?
Good, Tracy. How are you?
Good. Can you come get Jeff?
hey, that's the reason I called. I just been listening. But I'm driving down, I'm actually in Wheeling, West Virginia, and and I'm listening, and Jeff started singing. I had to pull off the side of the road. I was laughing. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Larry, I'm going in the studio this week and do the, and finish that.
Man,
Larry,
you can make money on that, Jeff.
Larry, don't encourage it. I'm
Oh, no, Jeff can make money on that one.
He can make money on that one? Yep.
Oh, yeah, hey. I almost wrecked.
Larry, don't encourage him. Don't encourage him. Because, you know, we got to live when he get done.
Hey, Larry, they wouldn't let me do... They wouldn't let me do my Wasting Away in Barack Obamaville.
Why?
Because you can't use that song.
Why can't you?
You have to have permission to use the song.
Well, now, hold on. When you do a parody, you don't have to have permission, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the we need to find that out, because otherwise that's
parody.
Released tomorrow.
Parody. Parodies, do me a favor, turn down mic number one. Parodies,
oh, okay, I'll stay back this time.
Parodies don't have to be, because you'll never get permission from the artist to do a parody.
Okay. Well,
remember, that's what Al Yankovic, they sued him and they lost.
Oh, I didn't
know that. Because it was a parody. Check that out. I'm almost sure of that.
I'll look it up right now. Because if that's the case, I have
you're not in here.
I have a whole album.
You're not there to make money. You're there to make joke. That's how you can use it. There's a gray area there. Larry Long, are you behaving, driving off the road? You be careful out there. You got to be careful if you Jeff and drive.
Yeah, if you Jeff and drive. Oh, man, I'm hurting
I'm driving while happy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call, Tracy.
Oh, always, Larry Long.
I gotta go make some money. I got some Obamacare taxes I gotta pay.
Oh, Larry, man. Oh, what, Larry, y'all telling stories. Y'all got the money. See, y'all the ones for sinners. And you just don't want to pay your fair share. And the president is going to, and you too. And the president is going to put together some type of legislation that he wants to quit spying on Americans through the NSA on their phone calls.
That's all right. Cause
hold on. Let me tell you, you're getting this all bad as diesel. Hold up. And Rand Paul says he wants to take some credit on the plan. And I don't think they're going to give it to him.
Okay.
What do you think?
Personally, it never should have happened in the first place. It really shouldn't have.
No, it should not have. It goes against the Constitution, but who reads that? That's where the separation between church and state and Martin Luther King, you know.
Martin Luther King.
What? What? And seriously.
You know, those of us who take a very purist view to the Constitution, if something is unconstitutional, there should not be a law written to support it.
So why do we do it?
The Constitution itself speaks for itself.
But why do we do that? I mean, we make stuff up as we go along right now. Obamacare should never have been.
Yeah, part of that moral
mandated as a tax.
That cultural revisionism.
That wasn't a tax.
And moral relativism. Yeah, that's part of that culture. Unfortunately,
spying on Americans is unconstitutional at its best.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against the whole. You can might as well burn the Constitution.
That's what he'd like to do.
Who?
I think the president.
Okay.
No, he's a constitutionalist. Ask him, he'll tell you.
Who is?
The president.
Yeah.
He taught constitution in the college.
The only thing he knows about the Constitution is that he believes that it's a unfair document fraught with inconsistencies.
He didn't say that out loud, did he?
He said it out loud, and nobody paid attention, just like they're not seeing that he wants to give away control of the Internet. Isn't that something? How you like that one?
It's the president.
Yeah, and that's not about the president. It's about that you're going to give a tool to people that now, if the international people have it, they can tax the living daylights out of it.
Last night I was doing some research on, and I was listening to a guy by the name of, I can't think of his name. I got to pull my cheat sheet out of my pocket. Hold up. Oh, that's not. I got eyeglass cleaner. I feel like an old lady trying to find a piece of candy in my purse. I was doing some research on the four blood moons.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a minister that I'm trying to get booked. And I think his name is Bixler.
Oh, okay. Here's
okay. And they're getting ready to go into a prophecy conference. His
mm-hmm.
name is Mark Bixler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to him and what's going on across the country and what everybody's saying and what nobody's talking about. And the president is allowing things to align. And you've got, hold on, you've got Russia who and Putin. And if you look at, I was watching Morning Joe this morning, and if you look at Putin's actions and reactions to the administration, every time he's been here, he has been so nonchalant, so bored, so unenamored, he just does not, it was like we were pulling teeth. And for some reason, the president could not see Putin for who he was because he wanted to still have conversation. He was going to be more flexible when
after the election.
After he got through the election.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are today. We've given him, you can't go to the space station now, if I'm not mistaken, because
$77 million to them.
You gave Russia the only access to your Hubble.
Yeah.
So race to the moon now has become, they bought it.
And everybody wanted to put a dunce cap on the head of my beautiful NRA sister, Sarah Palin, when she said, watch out for the Russians years ago.
Oh.
Everybody wanted to write her off as the villain
her,
idiot.
Her and Romney.
And Romney, yes.
During the last cycle, she and Romney both said, if you reelect, well, she said in 2008, if you elect Barack Obama, Putin will take the Ukraine. Now he's taking Crimea in the Ukraine, and he's getting ready. He's amassed on the border. When Obama, he better not put any troops on that border. And they put up, they got something like 20,000.
But nobody's listening
troops.
To him.
They're not listening. To
nobody
him
respects him.
Which we tried to tell everybody for the past 6 years.
So the question is, why are we having a picnic lunch in China now? And he's going to the G7. What happened to G8?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Because
I don't know how the numbers went.
That's
I know.
Why G7, they kicked Russia off of it.
Oh!
G8 refers to the 8 nations that were going to control world commerce policy. And when Russia pulled this little stunt, they kicked them off last week, and now it's down to the G7. The only nations that matter as far as they're concerned for international trade.
So have you noticed that nobody is talking about it going from G8 to G7?
Well, they did mention it. That's how I know about it, being blind and not reading.
But it was mentioned very, very lightly
oh, yeah.
in passing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well,
haven't made a story out of it. And I understand the World Cup is going to be in Russia.
Yeah.
They deserve it to be there.
I gotta take a break. But I'm serious. The World Cup is going to be in Russia. And everybody's upset because the Olympic Games were in Russia. And why are they trying to – why is everybody going to Russia and trying to play with Russia when Russia doesn't want to play with them?
It's not that Russia doesn't want to play. It's just that Russia has a very proprietary attitude toward the Ukraine. You know, this ancestral tie there.
Uh-huh.
It's similar in scope to their perspective on Georgia, because Georgia was the birthplace of Stalin. So if Georgia were somehow federated, that would strike many a deep emotional chord. I mean, I can, that's the mindset in a nutshell.
So why is President Obama trying to fight
that? WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. The church was crowded in Arlington, Washington. Mourners paying respects to those who died in a terrible weekend mudslide. 30 homes destroyed. At least 14 people have died. Jennifer Johnson knew one of the victims, a 7th grade boy.
I'm a teacher in this community, and I've worked with JoJo, and I mean, I just know a lot of kids are grieving, and it's just really for us to show support.
The ground is still moving at the site of the Washington State mudslide. Officials say it would be a miracle if they found any more survivors. Changes may be coming to the NSA's practice of collecting tens of millions of Americans' phone calls. ABC's Ann Compton says President Obama is calling for new restrictions.
Under the new proposed restraints, sometime later this year, the NSA would have to ask a special court for access to a specific phone number and up to two more numbers called by the first. No longer would the government store millions of American numbers for years.
The controversy over NSA surveillance intensified after a series of leaks by the former contractor Edward Snowden. Ukraine's parliament accepting the resignation of the defense minister. The country ordered its troops to withdraw from bases in Crimea after Russian forces seized most of them. U.S. officials are concerned about more military moves by Russia. Troops are gathered at Ukraine's border.
Pentagon sources tell ABC News there are now 30,000 Russian forces there, 10,000 added just over the past week. And NATO's U.S. commander warned they could invade at any time, seizing not just eastern Ukraine, but another part of the old Soviet empire too, Moldova.
ABC News chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl. Air pollution, the world's biggest environmental risk. New report from the World Health Organization says pollution kills 7 million people around the world each year. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Now news about your money. Loyalty programs can cut the cost of travel. Some airlines and hotel chains have generous offers for frequent customers. Cameron Huddleston of Kiplinger Personal Finance website says you can sign up for free deals.
If you tend to stay in one hotel chain, then you should sign up for its loyalty program, and then you'll get points whenever you stay.
Points convert into free nights.
Another way to do it to actually get the points quicker is to get the hotel's loyalty credit card.
And airlines also have them.
You don't get the points just by spending on airline tickets. You get it by spending on everyday purchases, so that's how you rack up points a lot more quickly.
But pay your card bill in full each month to get the most benefits. The price of homes rose more than 13% in January compared to the year before. The Case-Shiller Index says there was a slight decline compared to December. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Their name is Safe Auto for a reason. Safe because it's smart to have car insurance, and auto because that's all we do. The right car insurance for the right price right now. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness. 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically.
I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, anti-free market, and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I, personally, will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 25th of March 2014. And Jeff and Eric are in studio with me. I think that's the blind Mike is on the phone with me. Got Bill inside the chat room. And we want to hear from you. It is an open mic today. And what's new, guys? What have I missed besides Jeff still in love with the president? And
yes, I am.
What are you laughing at? What are you? What's so funny?
I like that happy parody that Jeff wrote. I like that. I like that a great deal.
Oh man!
You know, I think I'm gonna have to go back to my George Duke date for a minute.
Okay, no, Jeff. See, you're discovering Duke all over again.
I mean, you know, you don't hear him for a while, and you forget.
Not
you
me.
Forget, and it's like, wow, George Duke, bad dude.
Oh, he's transcendent.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, one of my radio stations is George Duke Radio on Pandora.
Just all of George Duke, huh?
Right.
Okay, Jeff, I found 2005.
Okay. What's the name of the album?
Duke. George Duke Duke.
I believe that's it. Try T-Jam.
T-Jam?
Try that.
Tracy's Jam. Oh, I should have known that. That's not going to play it. Oh, never mind.
Not highlighted?
No, you can go straight to T-Jam, though.
No, I can't go straight to T-Jam. Not on this
yeah.
site.
Not on that site, but all you got to do is go put T-Jam in and it'll come up.
Oh, T-Jam.
Yeah, I believe it's T-Jam. It's T-Jam, Sausalito, or 5, 6, or 7 on that album.
5, 6, or 7. You got numbers. It ain't no number on there. Okay. T-Jam would be right. Tracy's Jam.
Well, yeah, but hold on.
Hi, not the blind Mike. How you doing, sweetie? He's gone off to another land.
Uh-oh.
Take me to a better...
That is it.
That's it.
You are, you know, the name is appropriate.
Well, that's what's up. That was the joint.
No. The name is appropriate.
I'm saying
he didn't know it was.
He wrote it for you.
Absolutely.
He's prophetic.
This is it.
That's it.
I've been trying to find it for a little while now. And T-Jam, that's easy.
I had it. The other.
At least you got the right year.
I knew what. When it was from.
But you should remember it was Tracy's Jam.
Couldn't I remember the name?
Tracy.
Yes.
This is a little off the subject.
Go ahead.
Off the current subject, but my NRA brother, I need to know for sure if it was my NRA brother, Theodore Roosevelt. that said we Americans have no commission from God to police the world. Is there a way you could maybe...
Yeah, I can do that.
Just type in, we Americans have no commission from God to police the world.
I ain't writing all that in.
Yeah, where's the horns, though? Something's wrong.
Just type in, no commission from God to police.
And you got to write all that. And you want to know who quoted it?
I think it was Brother Theodore. He despised being called Teddy. His first wife called him that, and after she died in the fright of...
I'll find out in a minute.
Where is that at with no horns? What's up?
It might be the beginning, because you know they play for a long time.
Yeah, they do.
I found out that real musicians, they come to jam.
That's why.
I found out them playing musicians, they don't come to jam. They just there.
And you know the only person that can get away with a long opening on a pop song?
Who?
Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder will have a 30-second intro to a song. If he was given a demo to a company to make it, they would never listen to it.
Stevie Wonder is the only person I know that can come to a place and everybody clap and him not know the words to the song. I'm serious. Stevie would come to church and, every now and then they ask him to come and play. He'd get up and he'd go, and he's in church. So he's trying to play a church song.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a song that he likes. So he gets up and begins to play it, and he knows the words like I do. He knows the chorus and a few words in between, and starts making up the rest as he goes along.
Oh, he can do that.
Stevie's a bad boy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, a little liberal for me. Be a bad boy. So this is not it.
That's it, but it's without the horns.
How do you have no horns, Jeff?
I don't know. That's got the...
He improvised, that's all. You could do that when you're George.
He must have done that on a later album, then. See, all of that's right unless you're only getting one side of your...
I know, I got balls.
Yeah, I know. Listen, do yourself a
little bit. I will find it.
T-Jam George Duke with horns.
But that is it.
That's it.
Does no one have anything to say?
No, I'm looking at that because it's bothering me now.
Why is it bothering you?
Because I want to hear my horns.
You get no horns.
Although they're smoking up in there.
You get no horns.
They are smoking.
Listen, did you guys hear the Malaysia, over in Malaysia, you know, they let the people know that it's no longer a search and rescue. And they told they told some people by voice, you know, by face.
Mm-hmm.
They called some people on the phone. And then they sent some others text messages.
That's pretty cavalier and cold.
Well, it's just the new age. Who cares?
Huh? That's rude. How you gonna send a text message?
See, this is the thing. People don't like me. People mad at me because I don't agree with, you know, with the homosexual evangelist that's in office right now. And I don't know what church he was
raised in.
No, yeah, not raised in, but ordained by. But
who ordained?
Ordained a homosexual evangelist. Come on.
Well, he is an evangelist.
He's evangelizing. He just told Uganda, "Oh, we're going to cut your foreign aid." You know.
Wow.
Now, they did do that.
He sure did.
They did do that.
But
you don't hear that in the news.
No, you're not going to hear that. The black president.
Back up.
Hmm?
Back up, please.
That the black president is going to take money out of the mouths of black Africans in Africa. That are a poor nation that want to try to live holy. They want to try to live right. And they said, no, we're not going to legalize homosexuality in our country. In fact, we're going to criminalize it because we believe that God is right in what God said.
They came out and said that.
Oh, yeah.
They came out and said that publicly. They will not go for that.
Dominican Republic, too.
A lot of them have come out and said that this is not what we go for.
Our God and country, not Sodom. is what they say right here on these signs. And they kaguta pala, and I don't know what that means, but it evidently means no, it's not going to happen here.
Well, it's certainly a lot more serious than Hakuna Matata, that's for sure.
I guess you're right.
Hakuna Matata.
From The Lion King.
I know that. Did it have a meaning?
Absolutely.
What is it?
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm going to find it.
Me either. I got to start bringing my little notepad.
Yes, you do. Yeah, that, see, it's a great tool.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, how you doing, South Carolina?
That's just me, Tracy.
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
See there, Mike? I told you to talk a long time ago, and you didn't say anything. That's South Carolina.
I'm sorry.
Real.
I'm at work, and I had to take a phone call. I couldn't.
You're at work?
I'm at work. I'm gainfully employed. I'm one of those blind people that actually has a job. I mean, you know.
Don't you know about 47%?
And I've tried my darndest not to become part of your 47% so that you don't have to support me.
Yeah, Mike, you don't have to work, man. You got it made.
I know.
Yeah, why work?
Somebody gave me the link yesterday, the government website of all the handouts, and according to the government, there's like 123 things that I could qualify for just because I wrote blind next to my name.
It would be nice.
Oh, yeah, you can rack up, Mike. You never have to work.
Yeah.
Tracy, are you talking about Mr. Ryan's statement yesterday?
Which one?
Paul Ryan? About,
Yes.
Yeah.
What statement are you talking about? Because I was talking about earlier
Ryan.
When... Paul Ryan?
Yeah.
What did Paul Ryan say?
Paul Ryan said that there is a definite issue that is affecting the urban communities where you have men that do not work. And it is not a race issue. It is a cultural issue, and we need to address that issue. And so,
that was yesterday. They jumped all over him.
That was a week and a half ago.
Yeah, they jumped all over him like he cussed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see my posting on Facebook when I asked, was it true or are we just mad because it was a white boy that said it?
Yeah, what gets me is that these so-called black leaders, it takes them a week to hear about it and say something. It's like, come on, man.
Well, the thing is that they don't have anything to say. They have to make up something to say. And so when they do that, you know, there's nothing happening. This is stupidity. They're driving this country into the ground. They're not just letting it fall down. They're driving it there. It's just like, they know they're going to hit the side of a mountain. They just want to go as fast as they can. You see what Al upset with the guy that said that the Democrats were going to sweep everything a couple years ago, and now he's saying the Republicans are going to sweep, and now they're saying how terrible he is and how wrong, and he's not been right too many times. Oh, they're going everywhere, and they know that people are so upset with Obamacare. With this man doing crazy international stuff, giving away the internet now. That should be something.
I don't think they're upset, Jeff.
Oh, they are upset because
I don't think they're. I don't think they're.
You
upset.
Have 61% of black people disagreeing with the president,
but
and sorry for
on,
their vote.
Hold on, but they don't say nothing about it.
No, I'm just saying. But
61%
of
black people. Here's my problem. See, if I'm upset about something,
mm-hmm.
I mean. If I'm upset about something, I'm not going to stay quiet on the sidelines and say, you know, why would you do that?
But that's you. I mean,
look, they're not saying anything. You got 61% keeping silent about a man and just going to let them flush them down the toilet?
Because white liberals have brainwashed black people to not move until they say something.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Because no one's going to get upset until they go to log on to Facebook and post some dumb pictures before they get upset about it.
Well, yeah, plus, you have to have a white liberal say they're trying to take your vote. They don't like you. You know those Republicans don't like you.
And then they'll say something?
And then they'll say something. They'll start moving. They'll get motivated and go vote.
In here, every piece of civil rights legislation that was ever introduced was introduced by Republicans. The first president to come out against lynching was, again, my cousin Benjamin Harrison, who appointed Frederick Douglass ambassador to Haiti. I mean, Republicans have been at the forefront in championing the true, you know, in bringing blacks to true or legitimate constitutional parity, and these liberals are taking advantage of it. They're just taking the reins and just, I guess, again, brainwash black people. You're right.
So my question is, okay, brainwash me once, shame on me.
Well,
brainwash me twice. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Brainwash me three times. I'm just
No, you got brainwashed. The last time you were brainwashed was 1964. And in 1964, when civil rights legislation was passed by the Republicans with a Democrat president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who, by the way, destroyed the 1957 Civil Rights Act, when you had that happen, you had people believing that it was the Democrats that passed civil rights. And then you started having Republicans start winning in the South, and everybody assumed, or the racist people said, well, the reason why those Republicans, everybody joined the Republican Party. They had a mass exodus because of passing civil rights.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited.
Which is stupid. You're going to go to the party that passed it, that voted for it. And that's not what happened. You started having Republicans not being afraid to be Republicans anymore in the South. Because if you were a Republican in the South, your business sometimes got burned. Okay, sometimes they came in and did stuff to you. You didn't get the promotion on the job and all kind of things. Don't forget that.
Yeah, if you sold the blacks, they would burn your business down.
That's right. So that's what the change was. Did you have some people come over to the Republican Party? Yeah, a lot did, because then the Republican Party had power.
But my
a few did, not many. You had the, who do we have out of South Carolina that had the black daughter?
Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Strom Thurmond and a few others, and that did not last. See, they want to claim these things, and it's absolutely, utterly ridiculous to believe that all the Southern whites left the Democrat Party and joined the Republican Party because Johnson passed civil rights.
But my question is, what did you say, South Carolina?
It didn't work that way. As a matter of fact, after around 1877, when the Union troops pulled out, there was a concerted effort by the Democrat Party to destroy anything that was even close to resembling a Republican. And those folks that considered themselves as radical Republicans back in the day, they were treated like black people. They just hung them in the streets and beat them in the streets and ran them out of town. The ones that they were called carpetbaggers, they didn't stand a chance either.
Well, the carpetbaggers were pretty much down there just to exploit the power vacuum, exploit the situation. I mean, many carpetbaggers and scalawags weren't down there, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts, or, you know, just for altruistic purposes, or they really had a genuine desire to see black people rise to constitutional parity. Which brings me to my next point. Who was the first organization that came to the forefront and trained newly freed blacks in the proficient use and care of firearms to defend themselves from acts of vigilante terror in the South when the authorities looked the other
NRA.
Way? Who was that organization?
NRA,
exactly.
The NRA.
But now you'll hear, I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard some ignorant black person make the statement, the NRA is nothing but a subsidiary of the Klan. Well, actually, I heard a lot of them pronounce it subsidiary, but that's the incorrect pronunciation. What a misnomer.
626, your mic is on. I got to take a break, but your mic is on. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're going to put me, come in. Anyway, I was gonna comment on what Jeff has said. And I think it shouldn't be a shock, because I came on here and told Jeff many a time that black folks can disagree with Obama. They can agree with Obama on another thing. And if black folks disagreeing with Obama on Obamacare, if they're disagreeing, it is not free, right? It's not that they don't want it to exist. It's like, why should I have to pay for this? That's probably how, you know, people would disagree with it. But black folks can disagree with Obama. We're not lockstep with Democrat and Democratic agenda. We just oppose Republicans.
Yeah, but Stupidly so. Thank you.
Why do you oppose?
Foolishly so.
I got a question for you, you disagree, and okay, you can disagree.
Yes.
But why kill yourself in the disagreement?
You said why kill yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be your opinion.
Outside of the
circle of black Republicans, every other black person, the other 99% of us would disagree with what you just said.
My question is, why kill yourself? I know you disagree with me. I understand that. So if you disagree, why allow them to eat you? That's my issue. I mean, okay,
yeah,
you can disagree with me.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense to the 99% of us.
What doesn't make sense?
She just made a step and said, "Well, why are you killing yourself?" That is not even for 95% of us. Yeah. That makes absolutely no sense to even ask a question like that.
So self-reliance and a small government makes no sense to 95% of us.
Yeah, because that would be absurd given the history and the information that we currently have. That would be absurd.
Here's one I can break it down for you. Why are you killing yourself when you're supporting abortion that is killing, you know, 300,000 to 400,000 of African Americans every year, and you walk in lockstep behind a policy that
right.
says it's okay
gotcha.
To have oh, hold on let me finish
gotcha.
To have abortion.
Okay,
but yet now, hold on, and also
yeah.
you're supporting a policy that says okay we need to redefine what a family is and just completely. Furtherly denigrate the African American by saying, "Hey, you guys need to go out and you need to have same-sex marriages." I mean, and you're going to support that policy when it seems to clearly go against what you say you believe spiritually.
Yeah,
I got you.
Trying to make black Africans do the same thing too.
Okay, hold on, I got you.
Exactly.
Before you jump, don't jump to subject. Stay right there on the point. Let's get specific. He talked about abortion and he talked about. Same-sex marriage. Black folks disagree with a president and a Democrat on same-sex marriage right across the board. So, but on the situation with abortion, black folks may have a disagreement or may agree with abortion. However, black folks, that's not a voting issue for black folks. Period.
And Tracy, hello.
Go ahead, Stanley.
Yes, the thing is, I'm listening to what you're saying. The abortion thing, that is none of your business. If another human being, another woman, or any other person decide to make that decision to have an aborting kid, it's none of your business. It's none of your choice. It's her choice with either the boyfriend or the husband to make that choice and to suffer the consequence of what they choose to do. You are not there to decide what they want to do. Nobody forced you to have an abortion. I'm sick of tired of saying you're killing yourself, you're doing this. You're not. She made that choice or he made that choice with her to have an abortion. That's number one.
And that's the world
right.
you want to live
okay.
in.
Right?
So
that ever,
so
maybe she was duped or conned or perhaps coerced into making that decision?
Nobody could coerce her without your choice.
Hold on.
You make
hold
the
on, Stanley. I don't think so as a woman. Women make decisions based upon emotion. And society shapes you before your decision is made.
Exactly, society
so,
shapes you.
So I don't. I go and I in my mind,
mm-hmm.
have already considered abortion before I get pregnant.
Exactly.
Before I get pregnant, before I even have sex.
But the variables and the calculus in your decision have been basically spoon-fed to you by the liberal media.
By the liberal media and by society.
Yeah.
So
you're still being treated.
Right, correct. Because so I don't go to the abortion clinic and they don't stamp me. I go there because I look at abortion as an option before I even get pregnant.
But Tracy, what Stanley was saying would make absolute sense to where black folks' mind is at, right? I don't know if Stanley disagrees with abortion. Neither, he doesn't know where I stand. But at least we both can agree with that's going to be somebody else's decision. It's not going to be a decision I'm going to make at the voting booth.
Covina, man.
That's
where
listen, I stop. That's
Covina,
a good line to stop
sweetheart,
it. Yes,
darling, listen.
Yes, ma'am.
The problem with your thought process, in my opinion, is you want to speak for all black people, but all black people don't want to speak for themselves. And so what's happening
that's okay,
is
I'll speak for them.
They don't need you to speak because you speak out of ignorance a lot of times. And when I say that, I don't mean any disrespect to you. But see, we have forgot that I am my brother's keeper and I am responsible for my neighbor. And so for every abortion that we have in the black community, it may not affect you personally, but it affects my culture and who I am. For all of the music that we listen to, it may not affect my own home, but it affects my culture and how people shape how they look at me, and I'm responsible for that. And the problem with this is Martin Luther King, I talked about him earlier, he took a bullet, but none of us bled because he died. And that's a problem. Because we think that we're equal, we think that everything is going on, and so we go our separate ways, we vote and we get pimped, and then we don't do anything about it. And those of us that know better don't do better. I'll be right back.
About a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking...
Hill is just some rhetoric. Like, I'm just going to say some...
I don't understand
like,
that.
I mean,
I don't understand that thing of abortion. It's so many people that are against abortion, they're the first one to keep the kid and everything, but once they have that kid, they'll be nowhere to be found when that mother or that mother needs help. They'll be the first one to say, hey, you did a great job to keep the kid. Are you going to help me to pay the bill? Are you going to help me to educate that kid? Are you going to help me? You don't see them nowhere.
No, not when I privatize it. It's, oh, no, you're on your own. Get rid of the WIC program. Get rid of the educational program. Get rid of everything. You're on your own.
You're on your own, exactly. Come on.
Well,
so,
you know, you guys
I'm sorry.
Is, you guys' reasoning is beyond me.
I'm sorry. I'm a perfect testimony of what happened. I'm sorry. If it wasn't for abortion, I would never be in the situation that I am now. I'm sorry. I had two abortions that I had to do. With two ex-girlfriends and everything. If it wasn't for that, I would never be in the situation that I was now. I'm sorry.
Abortion.
Financially, I was not ready to be a father.
You
got to understand that.
What you did, was defer your responsibility. That's all.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. What's the biggest responsibility to having three people? Wait. You're saying it's the furthest of the responsibility. Let's say I brought that kid in this world. How am I going to pay this? Is that better to have three poor people, or is it better to have two productive people in life? What is better? What is better? Three poor people? Answer the question. Answer the question. Answer the question. I want you to. I'm going to ask you the question. Can I ask you the question?
I'm going to answer it. What you do is you man up, you take care of your responsibility, and you go out and you get two or three jobs if you have to pay for that kid.
Thank you.
That's all.
You are funny. You man up. Really. Really.
Yes. Man up.
Really. You are really funny, man. You man up
Don't
and everything.
Man
I'm sorry. If you're not able, you know how many people I know personally that have kids and everything and they can't even afford to have kids? A lot of people. And a lot of people would have told you the truth. If I had to start it all over again, I would have never had that kid.
They clothes on, Stanley. You ever think of that? There is that option, you know. You're not an animal. Leave your doggone clothes on if you can't take care of no babies.
No, but if you're not able financially to take care of your kid, why are you going to bring up a kid if you're
like
not
I
able
said,
to do
Stanley,
it financially,
you're not a
period?
You're not a rabbit. Leave your pants on if you can't take care of a baby.
But this is the main reason why abortion shouldn't be a topic, dude, because it leads to ignorant conversations like this right here.
No, it doesn't.
It requires you
accept responsibility for your
No, it requires you that you think that my life would have been better with a kid, and I'm saying it wouldn't have been. That's what you don't understand. I'm the perfect testament
so
that I am for abortion because my life would have not been better. I'm sorry. I have a six-figure salary and I would have never been able to do what I did if I didn't have those abortions. I was 18 years old. And don't tell me, oh, you made the response. By the way, the condom broke. Don't even go there.
You shouldn't have been having sex in the first place.
Oh, we should
have
been not having sex. What are you going to say now?
The condom broke.
The condom broke. What are you going to say
now?
Oh, you shouldn't have
had
sex. We never wanted to have a kid.
I'm allergic to birth control. The condom broke. I'm allergic to birth control. The condo give me a rash. I heard it all, man. Come on now.
and when two responsible people sit down and we sit down, both of them say, "You want to be a mother?"
Let's
sit down. She's in college. She's doing a degree and everything. She did what she needed. She has a perfect life. She is not a person like you're saying, oh, she's mad. Oh, she's traumatized. Right. She's not traumatized. She says it was one of the best decisions she ever took in her life.
Right. Okay.
So let's not act like you think that everything. I'm a perfect testimony. It was a good decision, and she is happy too. So what you got
to
say about that? Two human beings that are happy.
Are dead. It's a balance.
Yeah. So what is it better to two human beings happy, or they be three human beings miserable? Which one is better?
I don't know. The baby isn't here to vote.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. I'm telling you, don't. I'm so pissed off against people or against Bush. You don't know what it is.
It's all about you, Stanley. No one else.
It is about me.
Who's the most important person in this world? I'm sorry. The most important person in this world is you.
Then you need to be a conservative, Stanley, because you see, you want to live your life where it's all about you. Well, only the conservatives believe that. You want to believe that the government
controls
your life.
No, I believe that it's all about me. But I believe I'm helping out other people also. I believe I'm not judging other people.
You
mean this? I believe that.
Because the liberals don't believe in helping people because they don't. They say to the government, please go help
people.
They
do. Well, which way do you go? Tell me which way
they
go.
The liberals give less to charity than the conservatives.
Okay.
In France, it's socialistic. Their corporate giving to charities is zero. The average French person's attitude is, since the government covers everything, why should I give?
We're not talking about anything great. I'm going to...
Your life may have been ruined, Stanley, but guess what? That child may have cured cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I'm with you, Eric, but hold on, Stanley, because I listened during the break what you guys were talking about, and that was pretty interesting. And let me say this, and I'm going to let Eric and Jeff jump in, and then I'm going to bring 440. He's been waiting for a minute. I'm going to let him in also. You have to understand that abortion, lack of sexual control, is a selfishness on our own personal part. And we need, you know, condoms break, birth control fails, all that kind of stuff. But you know, if you lay down, there's a possibility, the probability that you can wake up with a baby. And if you're not willing to take that risk, and you need to stand up and never lay down again. And so you're ready to take that risk. That nest is being very, very real.
There you go.
And what's happening when you have abortions? We become a society of selfishness. It's all about me, how I feel and how I want to feel and what I want to do. And this is not, as I said before I took a break, when it comes to women, our minds are already made up that abortion is an option before even the option comes up. It's relevant. It is. That's how we think. Because society has already said that if this doesn't work and if this doesn't work and if this doesn't work, then this will work. And this selfish society is actually really killing us, and we don't want to be honest about that, but it is. But I will say this: we killed more people because of our selfishness than the slave trade.
Oh yeah.
And we are a disintegrating population as African Americans, and we are no longer contributing to society because of how we vote and our passive attitude towards just life. And because we are not taking responsibility, we're not being accountable, and because we're making excuses for everything and everybody else. Because it's all about me and how I feel. We get in debt and we spend money we don't have because of how I feel. And it just is what it is. And we need to, Paul Ryan, he might have been white, he might have been right, but he told the truth, and we got to fess up and say the man was right. And we need to take ownership and we take responsibility for what we're doing, and we don't do it. 8440.
Yeah, I have one thing to say about that. I can't control anybody that wants to have an abortion, but I don't want to pay for it with the tax dollars. You want to have it, you go right ahead and have it. You'll have to answer for it. But
let
him finish.
I'm talking. If you want to pay for it, fine. Don't use my money to commit that sin. All right?
Exactly.
And as far as the, you know, the abortion clinics are outside of a lot of black communities.
Inside.
The way I see it is that, maybe he's trying to exterminate you, or maybe you're exterminating yourselves. You ever
Amen.
Think of that? Are
yeah.
you thinking about that?
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead and do it. You're doing it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
And like
I
the
mean,
man
that
said,
sounds kind
you know,
of cruel, but that's the way it is.
Hold on, listen, wait a minute, one at a time, guys, because I want to get Stanley to shout out.
Let me come back to what you're saying.
Stanley, I'll let you come back in, but I try to edit these shows so that I can actually do some things with it, and we are stepping on top of people, and we need to have a nice, clear, so that everybody understands everybody's thoughts. So, you know, 440, you done? Because I want Stanley to come back in, and you know, Jeff has something to say, and so does Eric. Stanley, go ahead.
Yeah, I could say the same thing. Don't use my tax money to have a stupid war that I never wanted, which is two wars we went through, and don't use that money for that. I could say the same thing for in a lot of subjects. We live in society. Deal with it. It's not about just you. We're living in a society that we decide as the people to decide who, what we want with everything. We are the government. You're not the only one. I can say the same thing. If we would do this the way you're doing it, everybody would have a problem saying, oh, I don't want to pay the tax for the war. I don't want to pay the tax for education. I don't want to pay the tax for this. I don't want to pay. Can you imagine?
But my personal actions don't control.
Everybody,
would,
yeah, your personal. I could have the same personal thing and you.
No, it's not the same. The government goes to war. I don't choose to go to war. My personal actions last night, because of my lack of self-control, did not bring us into a war. That's not the same analogy. You're comparing watermelons with grapes.
Exactly.
Okay, this is a problem when you have liberal thought, because liberals don't think.
Amen.
Okay, here's the bottom line. When you go into a war, you go in there for two reasons. The interest of your nation or the interest of your allies. You have agreements with people across the globe where you sometimes have to go to war. When an evil man or just a man that went against the grain now because he's mad because he doesn't feel like he's getting enough and he disrupts stuff in the Middle East and disrupts your allies' life and starts to disrupt yours. When Iran, can get nuclear weapons and Pakistan's nuclear weapons are sitting on that government that's shakered in a crap game on the ocean, then you have to go to war. You have
Why?
To stabilize that, to stabilize the area. Just like if you get cut, you send blood and fibrinogen
Why?
And all these
Yes.
things to that area. Stop, please. Step to that area to heal that cut. Your military is for that reason. It's an all-volunteer military, and that's why they're there, because they believe
Jeff.
In the missions that they are given. You be
Jeff,
sitting
you're not,
back here in this
Jeff.
Country not knowing what you're doing, not knowing what's going on in the world, and putting your thumb up your putting your thumb in your mouth. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous to hear that when somebody can go out here, spread their legs and screw, and then you want me to pay for it. No, I'm not paying for it.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Yes, Tracy, I'm going to make one comment. I have to hang up. Listen, for any woman to have a baby or is pregnant in America, and for any man or for her to convince herself to have that abortion for financial reasons, or that baby may starve, or they're not going to be able to work, or they're not going to be able to go to school and better their life, they have a psychological problem. That's all I have to say.
Well,
Tracy, here's the thing. Listen how asinine that is, and this is why I'm going to say it like this. You pay something like $10, $12, $20 a month for birth control, but when you get an abortion, it's going to cost you $300 to $400. So now you want me to kick in on your $3 to $4 when you could have been paying $20 and used birth control. Get out of here with that mess. See, that's the asinine thing of a liberal thought. It does not make sense.
It doesn't. Listen,
it doesn't make sense.
It goes back to what I said about selfishness.
They probably spend more money on coffee every month.
I mean, but it goes back to selfishness. It goes back to selfishness. It is something that we don't necessarily we don't pay attention to. It goes back to, let me please myself. I'll deal with the repercussions tomorrow, and if I can't, somebody else will take care of
it.
Oh, yeah. I hate that mentality big time.
That's what it goes back to. That's what it deals with.
Let me ask you all this. How many people, how many of us in here, I mean, I know several people, you know, black people, who would be outraged at the sight of a Confederate flag, correct?
Right.
All right. Now, because of what it represents what, a potential genocidal tendency? Well, first of all, I've got a genocidal tendency for you. Here's a quote. There's a certain class of people in the South, men, women, and children, who must be killed or banished before you could hope for peace and order. No Confederate general said that. It was William T. Sherman, one of Lincoln's generals. They were the genocidalists. The same principles at work here. The same people that would be outraged at the sight of a Confederate flag would support a woman's quote-unquote right to choose when, since the infamous Roe v. Wade decision was handed down in 1973, over 18 million black babies have been needlessly killed in this country. And I'm not talking about those that were aborted because of health reasons, the pregnancy would endanger the health of the mother.
Or no rape.
No.
None of that.
No. I'm talking about just arbitrary. And arbitrary means of birth control is how abortion was looked upon, and that resulted to twice the number that allegedly died in Auschwitz and Treblinka and Buchenwald and Dachau and these other concentration camps during World War II. So, if you're going to back what Margaret Sanger stood for, you may as well fly a swastika.
They might as well, but you can't tell nobody that.
But let me say this. It goes
back. Yeah, they don't want to hear it.
Larry, go ahead. Your mic is on.
He just killed it on that. Literally, I think the one caller, somebody was saying that, you know, Jeff corrected him where he said that the abortion centers were outside our communities, and Jeff was correct, and no, they're inside our communities. And if people knew, I mean, go do the research. Planned Parenthood was founded by eugenists, and if that's a big word for you, basically that's what Hitler and them subscribe to. If you were undesirable, they didn't want you to have the opportunity to procreate. So undesirable to them was black, Hispanic, if you had a physical deformity. But we're embracing that. I mean, we did back in the day, like you said, Tracy, there were more African-American babies killed than in the 400 years of slavery.
Yeah.
But we embrace that. We embrace this and allow that to happen and then wonder why we got what we got.
But Larry, it comes from ignorance. It comes from lack of knowledge. It comes from, you know, I think it's all about me, my four, and no more. And because we have this selfish society, let me say, Stanley, you brought up, you know, they go to war and I don't want to go to war. Listen, I understand that they go to war and you don't want to go to war. I understand that there are things that happen inside of America that you don't agree with, but your tax dollars pay for it. I understand that. But a personal decision you should not have to pay for. And that's something we need to take ownership of.
And Tracy, it's sad. There was just an article posted yesterday. I think it was on The Drudge. It was a link. Over in the U.K., they are these aborted babies, and they're not a fetus. Because, I mean, it's crazy. It's not a fetus. That's a baby. But they, after they've aborted them, they're taking that and burning it to eat the hospitals over in the U.K. over
that's
in
disgusting.
Great
Britain.
That's real.
That's disgusting, and I'm glad I'm not over there with a gun.
But that's real. And let me say this. And we are not paying attention because they're burning our boys inside of the prison.
I mean,
and our,
this,
and
this,
our
this
girls
like a,
are following. I don't think
this
we
is
understand
like an episode
that.
Of that
huh?
It's like a real life episode. It's like an episode of that show, Criminal Minds. It's like this is really happening. We've got that sick as humanity.
Absolutely, as a humanity as well as a nation. We are a selfish nation. Yes.
But Tracy, I think we should really put the fence on. We've allowed the progressives to change the English language. For instance, and what I mean is you see these commercials now with this beautiful woman. She was the prom queen, but she was a smoker, and it shows you how she progressed into smoking and she died. We need to show a 20-week-year-old child and what it looks like. And really what abortion is. I mean, that's why you didn't hear anything about that Philadelphia doctor that was butchering kids.
You ain't heard no more about him. It's like he disappeared off the face of the earth.
He disappeared. But there was more of them. There's a guy like him in every city in this country doing exactly what he did. And outside of Philadelphia and your show, Tracy, nobody talked about it.
It goes beyond
abortion. The world news.
But it goes way beyond abortion. The race
baiters
want to make
it an abortion. Don't call it an abortion. Don't call it a fetus. You're either for or against the killing of a child, an unborn child, or you're against that. It's not a fetus, it's a child.
That's why I don't watch the world news. That's why I stopped watching the world news.
Like that, Tracy, like the left does or the progressives do, we're going to keep doing it. But I say hit them back with it hard. Because it is a child, and you're killing it, and then burning it to heat yourself. I mean, you just can't get any more foul than that.
Yeah, that's insane.
What did you say, Stanley?
I want to ask a question to everybody in the group, okay?
Okay.
You have to understand, okay, I'm taking my situation, and it's a personal thing, and I'm taking my situation and everything. I was 18 years old, got a woman pregnant and everything, did use birth control. We both didn't want to have a kid. We were not financially able to be parents. And I'm sorry, if all of you guys are going to say that finance has nothing to do with having a kid, you don't know what having a kid is, period. So okay. I hear from all parents that, hey, we have to pay, you have to take for education, you have to take it. Having a kid is not just something that you say Monday I have it and Tuesday I could forget it. You have care of that kid. You have to read, you have to do everything, and you have to have money. We were not
well, let me ask you
financially.
This.
Wait, let me finish.
All right.
The question I want to ask in everybody, you're saying, and I'm telling you, that it's better to have two adults that are miserable, let's say three, with the kids that are miserable, that can't make it financially, that becomes four, or is it better to have two productive people, me and her? She went to university, she became a doctor, she did what she needed to do, and she's happy.
Stanley, let me say this.
Go ahead.
So Stanley,
hold on. Let me say this to Stanley. Stanley, you're right. You are right. And I understand when you look back over it, you said, you know, it was a bad decision and this is what we did and we took care of it. And you're right. But what I'm saying to you is you should have thought about not wanting the kid, the broke condom, and the possibility before you even got into the situation. And that's where America falters. That's where we all lose.
Yeah,
because,
we have a mindset.
I'm looking at
we have
what
a mindset. If the condom breaks, then guess what? The taxpayer's got to pay for it. No,
well,
yeah,
somebody's got to pay
know.
For it. I need an abortion because I can't have this kid. This is a one-night stand. I don't know them well enough. I don't want them. And my mind tells me this is what I do. This is my option. And so we say, well, let's save up our money. And if I can't pay for it, somebody else will. But no matter what, I don't have to have a child even if a mistake happens. And we don't deal with the mistake before we lay down.
What's a mistake? A mistake is leaving your car, I don't know, leaving your car door unlocked or leaving the light on in the basement when you go to bed.
No, a mistake is actually having a babe. No, I'm with him on that. I mean, you gotta, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I have never had an abortion, but you're not going to sit here and act like that we ain't been out there doing something we ain't got no business doing and woke up one morning and thank God we didn't have to deal with the situation, and those of them that did. But what I'm saying is, in hindsight, knowing what I know today, we have made abortion, we have made a way out. As Americans and as the black community, we had no idea the genocide and the plan of people to kill us. And now that we know that, then we need to do better in educating our young people about what they're doing, even the adults, about what they're doing.
Yeah, turn off that BET that glorifies all that shaking and grinding and tweaking and twerking and carrying on.
BET, skip that. We need to turn off Scandal and the rest of them, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're all dealing into something that is amoral.
Celebrating White House harlotry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're demonizing the White House and saying it's okay because Kerry Washington is screwing the president. Come on now, and it's a good show. Don't get me wrong.
What happened to the outside?
So what are we all about?
So we're very, very hypocritical in what we say we believe and what we watch.
Very much so.
But I will say this. Stanley, you are right, and I will say this, but we need to know the repentance of what I've done is wrong.
But people had to make sacrifices for Stanley when he came along. Was it financially conducive all the way around when he was born?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
When I say it doesn't matter, because we don't know what people did. And I'm not condoning abortion. But what I am saying is because of the selfish society that we're in and because of how we teach our young people today, because you have to realize this is how we teach Americans. We teach Americans, you just kill your mistakes. You don't own up to them. You hide your mistakes. You don't own up to them.
That's the decline from the good Calvinistic standard.
And as a matter of fact, if you make a mistake, we demonize you if we find out about it. But our problem is when we make a mistake. I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. Go ahead, Marilyn. Before I go to take my break.
Well, real quick, when those babies are born, we should never call them bastards and demean them. But the only thing I'm just saying is, I agree with you, Tracy. When that pregnancy happened, the only thing I was saying is that we should not have that concept of trying to convince somebody of killing that baby for economic, or we're not going to complete school, or we're not going to follow our dreams, because that is a delusion. No one has a crystal ball in saying that. That's all I was saying. That's it.
Hey, Diva. Well, I didn't unmute her. That's pretty good. Go ahead, Diva.
I'm like, I'm muted. I just came in on tail end of the conversation, so I really don't know what you guys were talking about other than getting pregnant as a mistake and abortion and all that.
Mike, I don't do it. That's not nice. Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Very good.
Take it as a compliment. We've had this.
Say you're sorry.
These are Facebook pictures.
Say you're sorry,
okay,
Mike.
I'm sorry to Tracy, but Diva, wait.
Thank you very much.
I didn't even hear what he said.
Don't. And what I'm saying is, I don't agree with abortion. But Stanley, I do understand where you're coming from. My problem is we have a behavior that we condone that's amoral.
I mean, but somebody that does not believe in morals does not think that they're amoral. So you can't say that to a Stanley. But you can say this. Understand, I'm not with, you know, irresponsibility of, you know, your physical actions daily. And you don't include me in how to pay for it. That's not what we're doing here. Okay, you include yourself as a responsibility. If you want to get an abortion, that's your responsibility. Okay, it's not mine.
Y'all don't want to pay for genocide.
Right.
At all.
Well, the problem is we shouldn't pay for it, but we shouldn't condone it either. And what we're doing, see, our problem is we're condoning it, and then we affirm it and pay for it.
Well, the thing is the affirming and paying for it is the other thing. No, there's people in this country who believe in a God, and those people should not be made to take part in our foolishness. Thank God. Pray for the Hobby Lobby people today, because they are in front of the Supreme Court at this moment. Our arguing that they don't have to provide contraceptive or abortion medicines.
But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the Catholic Church not standing behind Hobby Lobby?
Oh, I don't know that they're not.
Because we don't have a real pope in the Vatican, that's why.
Well,
you
Whoa, are you saying that because he's for gays getting married?
I mean, there's something, I don't think he's for gays getting married. I think he's saying that they need to be treated just as anybody else needs to be treated. Their marriage.
That means they're able to get married, Diva. That means they should be able to get married, like any human being.
No.
Yes.
That's not saying that they should be getting married. That's saying, look, I respect their life decision.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that I agree with their decision, but I respect it.
But I agree with that. But he said that they should have the same right as you. Do you have the right to get married, Diva?
Yeah, I do think they should have the right.
Okay, so if you have the right
it.
To get married, those people who are gay should have the same right as you, period.
That's why I don't, this is why I don't go to church anymore.
It has nothing to do with church. It has to do with civil rights. It has to do with civil liberties. It has to do with the U.S. Constitution. And the fact is, that's the government that we're – that's the document that we're governed under. And it guarantees every citizen certain rights. And it shouldn't be up to the government, and it shouldn't be up to Christians to say that these people can't join together in a union when they need that union for certain benefits.
They already have that.
No, they do not.
Bill Clinton put it in place with civil union.
And a lot of states did away with civil unions under the Bush administration. And DOMA had a lot to do with that situation too. So they don't have it in place.
And I want to ask all the people who are against that, what is your problem with those people getting married? It is none of your business. That's another thing.
No,
that's none
the
of
thing.
Your business.
Here's the thing,
wait,
Stanley. Because
what
for us Christians, marriage is between one man and one woman. That is how God created us, for one man to be one woman, and that's what we stand by. You may not understand
but
you may not get it, you may not
America,
like it. That's fine.
You live in America,
Diva, I would ask you the question. You're picking and choosing the thing in the Bible. Because if you're going to tell me that you are literally going with the Bible, I'm telling you, like, I could quote things on you in the Bible that you can say you will never do. Like, I'm sure you have a daughter that is not basically obeying everything that you have to say. I could tell you, the Bible tells you you're supposed to pick her up and throw her rocks and everything because she's not obeying you as a parent.
Here's
Are
the
you
going to
follow that?
Stanley, see, this is what you don't get. You know who Jesus Christ is, right? You know, when he came and he died on that cross, all was forgiven. So if he could forgive me for every sin I gave, why can't I not do the same for my daughter?
Everything
that you point out, everything, you have to understand historical context of the scripture.
There's no historical context when it's saying to you.
Stanley, can I ask you a question real quick? What does the New Testament specifically say about homosexuality? We know the Old Testament does, but what does the New Testament say about homosexuality? I want to ask Stanley and all the Christians that.
I have no idea about that. I know the Old Testament says that you're supposed to kill them. I don't know about the New Testament.
Hold on. So Stanley, if they're telling you that some Christians say that they don't live by the Old Testament, why they're only getting homosexuality from the Old Testament is a contradiction. That's why I say, where does it say about it in the New Testament?
No one on this line says they don't believe in the Old Testament. You can't have the new without the old. So you have to understand context,
exactly,
which neither of you clearly get. But to answer your question, Baltimore, Jesus specifically asked about marriage and divorce and adultery and all that. What did he say? He said from the very beginning he made them one man and one woman. The man shall leave his parents and cleave unto his wife. He didn't say he made them into people. He didn't use the word person. He wasn't ambiguous with his answer. He was very clear. One man,
but
one
listen.
Woman. And if you
but,
can't
okay,
read,
but listen, Diva,
I don't
listen,
imagine. Diva, I don't
understand. Diva, they don't understand
Sally, Sally,
what I'm saying. The events, Diva. They don't get that.
Stanley, hold up. But my question is, Diva, I'm asking what specifically did he say about homosexuality? The New Testament specifically says and details homosexual act. You're going about marriage between a man and a woman. I'm saying what does the New Testament specifically say about the act? And you're saying
one,
it doesn't.
One is specifically.
You're using marriage between a man and a woman.
Secondly, do you have to be specific in everything and every single answer
what?
You give?
Yes, you
do. I mean, that was
enough.
Homosexuality reigned during that time. People were practicing homosexuality even back then. So you would think that if it was okay with God, that he would have said people, or he would have said person, or he would have been very ambiguous with his answer, but he was not. He was very clear.
He was ambiguous when you were talking about marriage and you were trying to talk about a homosexual act. You gave an ambiguous answer. You did not give a specific act.
Why did I give an ambiguous answer? Ambiguous
means
no, the Old Testament talked about this homosexual act specifically, and I'm saying what did the New Testament say about it specifically? And you said, about a man and a woman mind. That's ambiguous.
That's not ambiguous.
Yes,
Jesus Christ gave a very clear answer. Very clear.
But,
I gave a very clear answer.
Okay, but Diva, if you're telling that the New Testament say a very clear answer, what did Jesus say about the Old Testament? Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come here to change the law, I just came to reinforce it?
No, he said
he did not say
he came to reinforce
it. Yes, he did. You want me to go get the Bible and quote it?
Go ahead and get the Bible. He didn't say he came. He didn't come to destroy it.
I don't want to do
and
this.
And you came
Eva.
To tell
you're
him he
rude.
Is the law.
I just have
do
to check.
Do you not understand
you're
that? That's what you
exactly.
don't get, Stanley.
So, he
was the law.
So
what
did
he
say? Did he say that he was going to change the law? Did he say that he's going to change the law? Yes or no, Diva?
Let me ask you a question.
Did he say that he's going to change the law? Yes or no?
Stanley, let me ask you a question.
There was no law written down on paper about homosexuality back then.
What was the purpose of the law? The laws of Moses. What was the purpose?
No, you're dividing what I'm saying, Diva.
No, because
I'm
you're trying to ask
exactly.
a question.
No. You
and you're
are
not getting any understanding from my answer. I'm asking
Diva,
you.
You're changing.
You already asked me a question.
There's no conversation,
Diva. Answer your question.
You
Stanley.
Are changing
so my
what
question,
I'm saying.
Stanley, what was the
go
purpose
ahead,
of the law? What was the purpose of the law, Stanley?
Diva, let me throw this at him, okay? In Leviticus, the 18th chapter, 22nd verse, it states, you shall not lie with a male as with a female. It is an abomination. And further, in the 20th chapter, it states, Leviticus 20:13, says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death.
Right.
Darn.
That sounds pretty clear to me.
No, I didn't know about that. You sound like really clear to me. It basically says homosexuality.
I bet they're proving their voice, Sally.
Hey, Rebecca, can you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600? The number is 347-945-5229. In studio me. Is it too loud? And the number is 347-945-5229. Now, Eric has no ears because the headset is too high. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSLM AM 600. And you should be, can you hear? Is it too loud?
No.
Very loud? So you can hear me.
Distorting.
I just want to make sure. You know, I want to make sure everybody can hear me. Because sometimes people don't hear me. I want you to listen to what I have to say.
How do I turn this down? Just a little bit.
The big knobs up on top. Turn down the big ones up on top. See the knobs? Right there in front of you. No, that's too far up. Here, how about this? Is that better?
Yeah.
There. We'll work you out a little bit later on.
Appreciate it. No, that's perfect right there. That's great.
No, but I can't hear, but I'm all right. So we were having a conversation about abortion. I don't know why we get on abortion and we have this conversation. And then it just goes.
Oh, thanks, man.
But the genocide and the you're on.
Great.
The genocide, the liberal agenda, the progressive agenda, for population control. All these things play into the community. And going back to what I was saying earlier about it is really about our ignorance and our selfishness. Most decisions that we make are all about me. It's all about self. It's all about me wanting to do what I want to do, getting what I want to get, going where I want to go, doing what I want to do. And if you're honest about that, it'll take you somewhere. It's our fault. And even with our young men, the white man, slavery and Jim Crow, and we're going to blame, oh, woe is me. But we've lost our faith, we've lost our God, and Marilyn, it's Romans 1 if you want to find about a homosexuality in the Bible and in the New Testament. Go read it. So,
and Corinthians.
And thanks, Larry.
Right, because it's no liars, no fornicators, no anything, no effeminate. None of those people shall inherit the kingdom, the Bible says.
And let me say this. And we talk about
male prostitutes and sodomites.
And effeminate, drunkards, gluttonous.
Right.
Abusers of themselves before men.
So all of that's in there. And let me say this. We pick at the homosexual and we pick at the abortion person.
Or idolaters.
But we want to leave out the ones we do. And
right,
so,
that means all of us going to hell according to that scripture. All of us going
to hell. No, that's where redemption comes in Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that. There's a pathway out of hell, and Jesus got the key, but if you don't pick up Jesus, you get no key and you don't get no way out. It's just that simple. But let me also say this. We pick on the homosexual and we pick on the person who has abortion. We pick on the murderer, but we don't pick on ourselves, which makes us a hypocrite if you want to know the truth about it.
Hypocrisy. Yeah, that's why it's rather prohibitively difficult for people that are wired the way I am to have political conversations with most African Americans, quite frankly, because they're outraged. They would be outraged at the Ku Klux Klan, who lynched 3,446 people between 1882 and 1968.
And we lynched how many? We did that last year, didn't we?
Well,
in one city.
Twice that number are killed by other blacks.
I did him.
That's what I'm saying. And we are not outraged by that. Abortions, we're not outraged by. That wasn't the abortion number. That was the murder number.
You know, you got Jesse Jackson walking around here. Well, peace to Trayvon Martin and all those who struggle. And thought would hold on to your faith. But nobody says a bleeping word. Nobody says a bleeping word about the over 9,100 black people that have been killed by other blacks between the day Trayvon Martin was killed and the day Zimmerman was acquitted. Nobody says a word about those 11,000. Just that the race baiters want to come on in, and, you know, everybody's thinking about that old gun control commercial from the early 90s, the little black girl on the stoop, shots was fired, my brother was killed, and next thing you know, this huge alabaster hand goes over his shoulder. Unfortunately, our relationship story is all too common. Folks, we got to get rid of that hypocrisy. It's got to go.
So tell us how you really feel.
So you said they're happy? So you're saying the black community is happy and laughing when kids are dying?
Yes, we are.
Really?
Yes, we are.
I don't see the outrage.
Yes, we are very, very happy. Because
you said
you
I'm
make
happy?
That,
how can
yes.
You know nothing about my life? How can you say I'm happy?
Because we speak as a whole. And I said we, which means I did not leave myself out.
Right, but you cannot include me in there.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Marilyn,
listen to what I'm saying.
I put myself in there. I didn't say, I said we. You can, if the shoe fits, wear it. And if it don't fit, take it off. But I said we, and the reason why I say we is because we make more noise over Trayvon Martin and a law we said we didn't like, but it helped us out. As long as it was helping us, we kept it quiet. And it goes up against Trayvon Martin, and then we found out Zimmerman was a crazy loony bird, and now all of a sudden it wasn't race, he's just crazy. And so we want to say all that, but we don't want to say anything about all the murders that we have in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our homes, in our communities.
The problem is not that the police don't want to lock up the right person. It's because we don't want to tell or snitch on people. But that problem with Trayvon, the police department was not locking up and doing proper procedures. Well, I understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, listen, if we did what we were supposed to do, and if we were active as we're supposed to be, and if we acted as though we were free and we were Americans as we are, we wouldn't have some of the problems that we have. But anytime you allow your child to go into a school and the child can't read by the third grade and you keep on sending your child to the same school and not questioning the teacher, who's boo-boo the fool that day? Even parents that couldn't read, write, and had no arithmetic, didn't know how to do anything, knew that education was important. We had a sense of respect in our community. We pulled our pants up. We said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You ain't never heard me cuss around no older people, and I'm a grown woman. And today they cuss like sailors, and they have no disregard of authority. Now, whose grandbabies are those? I got them in my family. You got them in yours? Yeah, you do. They come to Thanksgiving dinner and you try to hide everything in the house because you know they're nothing but thieves.
Whoa, tattletale great.
You know I'm telling the truth. Folks, it's crazy. You got cousins. You wonder what the hell they come from. Who is that? And how do you get away with that? How do you cuss out your parents and you got teeth in your mouth?
I'm going to say it like this. One thing about my family, we have none of those people in my family.
They'll do it.
Hold on. But if you reach far enough, and if you reach deep enough, you'll find them.
Not in my family. Sorry.
Then you're one of the few.
We're one of the few. We didn't have anybody act crazy because since we've ever known, we've great grandparents on down. You don't do nothing to your family, and not only your family, but you definitely don't do it to nobody else. Now, per se, we've had people that did things to other people, but you didn't have nobody messing with family. But that's, like I said, that goes to having a particular rule, family rule.
But again, even with the family rule, even with the discipline, even with the whole thing the way that it is, we need to understand as African Americans, if you can have nobody in your family, then I should have nobody in my family.
Yeah.
And the problem that we have is it spreads too far, too wide, gunshots still riddle, folks still out selling dope, you still taking stuff you have no business taking, you still having men who we're raising like pansies, and then we want to sit up and blame the white man because he got his foot on our neck.
Thank you.
I wasn't scared of jail growing up. I was scared of going home.
But
me and you both.
But Tracy.
I'm still scared to go home. Yes, Stanley.
Me too.
The question I would have to ask you, because my parents were very strict with me and everything, but do you think it's better when the parents are strict to the point of calling you stupid, calling you names, doing this
and
that?
That's
not better.
That's
not strict.
That's
cruel.
That's cruel.
That's not strict, Stanley.
That's not
Stanley, that's not strict.
That's evil.
That's not what we're talking about.
No.
When we say strict does not allow anyone to call your child evil. As a matter of fact, me, in my 50 years, I've only been called a B1 to my face. Because I don't do that. I don't claim them.
Yeah,
and
but Tracy, you'd be surprised how many people do that. You'd be surprised how many people are mad. They'll call their kids all kind of names.
And Stanley, again, that comes from how they were raised. That comes from their environment. And what I'm saying is, We need to change our environment and how we do things, what we allow. You understand where I'm coming from?
No, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm telling you, as a mother who was, my mother was very strict, and trust me, she's disciplined. You couldn't even talk to her a certain way. Are you crazy?
But
I would be killed.
But Stanley, see, I wasn't allowed to talk to her, but my mother gave me respect, too. That's why I'm saying I've never been called a bee, and I don't call bees. My mother's never cursed at me. So I have a problem with people cussing at me because I was never cussed at as a child. But my mother was very, very strict because she was the ruler of the house.
Yeah,
and I could not cross her.
Same thing here.
But what I'm saying is we have extended family. And you look at them and it's like, what are you doing? And how are you getting away with stuff? And what I'm saying is you can't blame that on society. That comes from inside because we did better under Jim Crow with self-respect and family respect than we do today.
But, Tracy, you can't just say that because it's just the parent not doing anything. Maybe if you are in the environment of finding out what happened, maybe you'll see it through the child's eyes while he's cursing his parent. Maybe he's cursing his parents for a reason that you don't know.
Stanley, there is no reason. That's what I'm saying.
I would debate that because I met, trust me.
Here we go.
Stanley, what I'm saying is, listen, family units, parents are no longer parents. They're just baby getters. And that's the problem. Having a baby doesn't make you a parent.
I don't think there's any excuse for a child disrespecting their parent. I mean, my mother was nuttier than a fruitcake when I was growing up, and she still can be, and she'll take you there. But I still will never raise my hand to her or curse her out, even though she may decide those are just to me. I just, for the simple fact, she still gave me life. No matter how much a parent might make a child's life difficult, there still should be a level of respect for the fact that parent still gave you life, decided to keep you, clothe you, feed you. There should be no...
I understand, Diva, but respect... It goes both ways, Diva. It goes both ways. If only you have respect for your parent, but your parent doesn't have respect for you as a children, you're done also.
And
I'm sorry, it goes both ways.
But our society...
I'm going to disrespect back.
But Diva, our society at large, going back to what we're talking about, abortion, going back to amorality, what we condone, our liberal thoughts that we don't have because we're really conservative in nature. Do you realize that they now teach is the culture of the black people to go out and have babies that they cannot take care of?
I had a discussion in a restaurant last week with a young lady that absolutely believed that it was the black culture that said they could go out, have these babies, and just do whatever they wanted to do. And other people suffer, and the black community is not suffering, and this, that, and that. I mean, and I heard her, and I was absolutely flabbergasted that she believed the stuff that she believed.
They teach it now.
They teach this. Now, this is what you're dealing with. Black people are not victims, and because they've been given so much. And guess what happens when that starts to settle in? If you're not independent of a system, that system's getting ready to cut you off. And when they cut you off, you're not going to have a pot, window, or field because you're not going to know how to do nothing. You're not going to know how to have a job. There's nobody's going to ever give you one. And guess what you'll turn out to be? A nation within a nation, worse off than what you are now. You vote against yourself every time voting for liberal white Democrats who tell you, you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody to help you. So here, I'll help you. And they help you by destroying your family with laws that say if you can't get a check, it's a man living in a household. They destroy you with, you can't take care of this child alone.
Yeah.
You go over there and kill it. And then your race doesn't grow anymore. This is in America.
And let me, and there's no, no, no disregard to the white race.
What about,
no,
what
hold about on, hold on. Not the white race.
No, let me finish. No disregard to the white race. The white folks having kids, and they having more than two and three. And they are adjusting their income because they know that the numbers are diminishing, and they want their families to survive and to thrive. I'm talking about your white liberals. They're out there making sure they are taking a step aside, and they're diminishing their family their needs, and they're cutting back on going shopping and eating out so that they can actually procreate while you go and kill off your children. In the suburban life right now, you don't see a whole lot of schools that are sitting in academic emergency, but I can show you a whole bunch in the inner city where people are brown and black.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting on the sidelines thinking that they're going to come and take care of us? Listen, you're going to be a new slave one way or another. Either you're going to work for them or you're going to be incarcerated with them.
And most people are about 5 days away from that.
Some of the best teenage musicians in the world come out of Carn City, Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, my best friend's wife is the marching band director. Now, that's way down in Appalachia.
Oh.
Like, way up in Appalachia, the Rolling Cornell.
And they ain't doing nothing but having kids.
Yep.
I'll be right back.
I'm so excited. Charlie Schaefer Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Schaefer Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Schaefer Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Schaefer Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley and read the testimonial.
Hey, Diva, just to answer your question, the comment I made that made Tracy made me apologize. Can you hear me, Diva?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, what it was when you came on, you said, I don't know what the conversation was, and I said, oh, we were just sitting here talking about your cleavage. Remember that time they got on you for your picture on Facebook? And she made me apologize, and what I said was, okay, I apologize to Tracy, and to Diva, I say, right on, sister. That was my comment, and she got mad at me for saying that, so... You know, because I was trying to lighten up. Everybody's getting too heavy here. Make personal choices.
All the noise.
And I'm telling you, Rodney King was a prophet. We got to all just find some way to get along. Because this ain't working.
And I agree with what you're saying. It's personal choices, and other people are interfering on the personal choices of other people. So that I don't agree.
Yeah.
The main reason why I don't agree with abortion is because it breeds irresponsibility within the African American community. I can't speak for any other community. I'm going to speak for where I come from, what I've seen. I've seen countless girls get pregnant by this guy, that guy, and the first thing out their mouth is, I can get an abortion. And if the girl chooses not to get an abortion, then the father is like, the guy responsible, well, you get an abortion. Well, since you ain't getting an abortion, I'm walking away. Right. And that leaves these children with no father because they're upset that the mother didn't. It just breeds irresponsibility.
Right, and that's where DNA testing ought to be mandatory, like fingerprints, maybe. And these guys should be made financially accountable. Or there's got to be something worked out. But the bottom line is, the ultra-conservative frame of mind is when a girl makes a choice or doesn't make a choice and there's a father out there who's not supporting the child, why should society pay for other people's recreation? That's what it comes down to. You want an abortion? That's just an extension of the date then. Why should society have to pay for that?
To be honest with you, when I look at the welfare program and how it's set up and how society is now,
yeah,
back then, back in the day, like my mom, she says, back in the day, it was more of a necessity. Now, you got girls knowing, because she said back then, you know, your parents didn't talk about sex. You really didn't know. Now it's too much. You know, you got birth control.
Yeah.
And you, it's just too much for you to get pregnant. The father don't have a job. You don't have a job. And just to say, well, I could just get welfare, that ticks me off to no end.
See, back in the day, 50 years ago, when my mother had cancer and we were on welfare for 6 or 8 weeks while she recuperated after her surgery, the rules back then were this. The first thing that happened was your telephone, if you were going to be on welfare, no problem, but the first thing happened is your telephone got cut to the 50-cent a month plan, which meant you could dial out and call the police if you had an emergency, and you could receive incoming local calls. That was it. You couldn't make outgoing calls. The next thing that happened was after you were on it, you had to, after 30 days, you had to surrender the license plates off your car and cancel your car insurance because there was no reason. If you weren't working, why would you need a car? You could take a bus to go get groceries. That was their attitude. After 6 months, if you were on welfare, you had to sell your car. I mean, they had all these rules. And this was in Connecticut, which at that time and was the richest state in the union with the highest cum and the highest literacy rate. But that's the way they ran welfare. It was truly public assistance. And if you needed our help, no problem. But you weren't going to live high and large on the public tit, as they used to call it. And that's the way, because you were being fair to your neighbors. Your neighbors will help you until you get back on your feet, but there's no reason. And you did not see people with smartphones and cell phone plans and texting plans and all that on welfare walking around. That's just not the reality that there was back then. It was to get you over the rough time. And then when you went back to work, you went back to work and you were allowed to just start accumulating your stuff and get back on track again. It was just to get you through the rough times. And everybody accepted it. They didn't see it as a violation of their civil rights because they could only get a receiving call phone plan and, you know, only can call the police for emergency or the fire department or the hospital. They didn't see that as being put upon or having their civil rights violated. And that was the way welfare was for white folks and black folks. There was no discrimination. That's how welfare ran.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Remember you told me there was something in YouTube you wanted me to check about the banks and things like that. Can you give me
that?
Oh, back?
God, yeah, Stanley. Let me go look up the name of the program, okay? Yeah, because I think you'd find it real, real interesting because you and I totally, like, agree on that.
We agree on that. And that's another thing that I wish people – because it comes back to what you're saying. It comes back to the question is, if after knowing all that information, how could you be so severe on people on being welfare when the top people, the banker and everything, are doing things against the law?
Well, because the policies of the banks hurt the person who tries to accumulate wealth. It hurts you, the working person, more than it does the person who's receiving government money because it robs you, and even though you're working, you're still ending up in the same place, you know? Let me find that information for you, and let me see if I can do it quickly. I'm just going to go on mute here so I'm not disturbing you guys. You guys can just chat.
Thank you.
Just stop arguing and killing each other. We're a family.
No, we're not arguing and killing.
We have to be together. That's why we're here every day as much as we can. And, you know, it just bothers me tremendously to hear the venom that goes back and forth. We don't need that.
Diva, did you check the thing that I told you to check, death and money and death in YouTube? Diva.
No, I didn't have a chance to check it.
Okay, check it out, because if you want to know, if you want to get mad with banks and things like that, check that out and you will be pissed off. I would. Just don't understand how we can accept that. How's it going with your daughter, by the way, Diva? Is it better now?
Oh, yeah. 2 calls on Christmas morning works.
Okay, good.
Oh, I got a lot. People said I was so – they were like, you're so cruel. It was so mean.
No, you just found a way to push your button and everything. The thing I don't agree as a parent is I understand what you're saying. I was brought up the same way that you did. You know, my mom brought me in this world and everything. But I do not agree that the parent has the right to go to the point of – basically, I got a beating. I got whooping. I got all those things, and you're telling me she brought me in this world. I'm sorry, even if
no, but what I'm no, Stanley. What I'm saying is, like, I got all that. Okay, I grew up under a very abusive mom. My mom was not on drugs or alcohol.
Me neither. Diva, go ahead. Hello, Diva.
I can still hear you, Stanley. I don't know. She must have got disconnected.
Okay. The thing is...
No, I got muted.
Diva, the thing is, where do you draw the line? Where do you... Because you say, I have to respect my parents because they brought me in the world, but I would come back to you, where the respect that the parents have to have to the child.
You're right, but at what point, where do we go where...
So we got a happy and a George Duke.
And what disrespects you?
Yeah, exactly.
What? You got Pharrell Williams and George Duke.
Come along if you know that Obama cares not for you.
Jeff, we're going to get you. We're going to make it to where it's going to be produced. We're going to do that.
Come along.
We're going to do that. We're going to get it to where it's going to collide together. I'm going to leave you guys in a few minutes. I got to go to Rotary.
Network news saying this or that.
Rotary?
You can leave me with all these wild, seething people up there.
No, but... Quinn does. Quinn, Dave.
She's cute.
Yeah, she is. That's Lynn. Hot 101.
Oh.
Hot 101. We got celebrities around here. I'm the only one around here that's just, you know, here. You got big time celebrities here. You got Doug and Marianne, Heather Mills, Lynn.
Oh.
Lynn Stevens.
Lynn's cute.
And it's Heather Stevens. Lynn, I don't know what Lynn is. I just know she's Lynn. You got AC and Kelly around here. I'm just trying to grow up and be like these guys. If I can, like, catch up with them, I'll be all right. Because they are around here in the Mahoning Valley? I want to do that in Boots Bell.
Yes, indeedy doody daddy.
I picked up a thing on Boots Bell the other day and on Facebook, and I was like, wow. Everybody knew Boots.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody knew Boots.
We've had some pretty tumultuous discourse this morning, but it comes down to a question of accountability. They first recorded, for example, just good case in point, the first recorded documented human fatality as a result of a mountain lion attack was in the state of Colorado. Was Scott Lancaster, an 18-year-old, jogging behind the high school in Idaho Springs, Colorado. He'd just come off of lunch. He went off campus for 7-Eleven, a couple of slices of pepperoni pizza with extra cheese. He put on his jogging gear. He went jogging. He ran past a group of trees and inadvertently triggered the chase instinct of a mountain lion that overpowered him, wore him down, killed him. The date was Monday, January the 14th, 1991. Now, here's the accountability piece. I put that out there. I put that little factoid as a prelude to the following. If Scott knew the mountain lion was there, and he did not, but had he known that mountain lion was there, would he not have had some responsibility in his own demise? Had he opted to run anyway? Of course he would have. Of course he would have. Why continue to do what you know is going to kill you is the point. Hence the genocidal tendencies that black people tacitly endorse with their votes when they continue to vote for these left-wingers who were raised to think that drugs and alcohol were two of the four major food groups. I just don't understand it.
I was watching 12 Years a Slave,
mm-hmm.
and I know this is a bad time to bring it up because we're almost done with the show.
Mm-hmm.
But in watching 12 Years a Slave, I noticed that the young man who was sold into slavery, because
mm-hmm.
he was a free man, he was a free black man,
mm-hmm.
who was stolen. And some white guys, he was a fiddler, and he's a very, very good fiddler. And he thought these white guys were his friend. And so these white guys took him, they went out to dinner to talk about their deal, and he went on the road with them to fiddle while they played or do what he did in the arts.
Yeah.
And they were out celebrating, and he was drinking. And he got inebriated.
Mm.
And when he woke up in chains. And that's how the movie gets started.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was watching this movie, I'm looking at saying, look at what caused this man to actually get to where he was incarcerated. And so I began to look at the penal system today. And I will guess at least
over 70% of the people that are of color that are inside of the penal system today. With most of them were not of their right mind and totally sober off anything when they were actually caught doing something. Because we know drugs and alcohol have a very, very good underlying effect. If you go back in time and look at the Indians, you'll see how their land got stolen from them.
Fire water.
And they was drinking fire water. So do we not look at there's a trend and there's a pattern here? Sober men don't do dumb things most of the time. And then we teach them with no control how not to handle their anger. Sober men don't go home and beat their wives most of the time. Not speaking in generalities, but most of the times. Sober people don't go lay down and make a baby that they can't take care of over and over and over again, unless there's something mentally wrong with them.
And the can't take care of is a misnomer as well, Tracy.
Huh?
That's a misnomer. That is not
what
true.
Do you mean?
They can take care of those children if they want to. They don't want to
no,
take
no,
care
Jeff,
of them.
No, no, Jeff, no. 4, 5, 6, no job. 7, 8, 9, 10, no
Tracy,
job.
They can take them if they want to.
They can?
Yes, because if you go, I'll guarantee you, let's go to a certain little store right near where we're at, and we'll sit there and watch how many of them go in there and trade their direction cards for money so they can go get their nails did and they can go do other things, et cetera, et cetera. See, they're being irresponsible on purpose because they know they're going to get that extra money. They know they're going to get that extra thing. And if they got one or two of the men sitting on the paying a little bit per month, they're in heaven like that. You have to understand, this is a beat-the-system situation. Now, I know people are going to be mad at me about that. I don't care. Be
yeah,
mad at me. But
well,
me
Jeff, you speaking the truth.
And let me say, I agree with both of you. They can take care of their kids, but they can't take care of their kids on their own because they're still hustling in the system or they're still doing something that they ain't got no business doing.
And they can.
Well,
they just choose not to.
They choose not to.
They choose not to work?
They choose not to everything,
yes.
Whatever they want to do.
Shirk responsibility, shirk accountability. That's your
59-hour
manifesting itself.
Wow.
I know a young lady got pregnant at 16, miscarried, and I was for sure telling her, get birth control. If you're going to be out here doing this, you can't afford to have a kid. You don't have a job. The father doesn't have a job, and he's in and out of JJC a lot. Sure enough, she gets pregnant again. Ask her, well, what are you going to do? Oh, I can just go get on welfare. First off, that's not enough to take care of a kid, and you're going to see. And secondly, why would you even want to be dependent on a system? One, you're capable of getting a job. Nope, she wanted to be on welfare.
And not only that, Diva, what will happen is they'll give her an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
At 16, 17.
Yeah.
And she'd go and live in that apartment away from her mother. So now her mama's influence, if it was decent, can't even be had because her mama can't live in her house.
No, her parent, her mother and grandparents are the reason why she's in the situation she's in.
Understood.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah.
That's what I said, if it was decent. I understand.
I could see that.
Yeah. I understand both. But
to get her on birth control. And I'm like, she's going to get pregnant, I knew she was not going to abstain. So my thing is, if you're not going to abstain, be responsible and not have kids that you can't afford to take care of, that you feel like somebody else is going to have to be responsible for. But they refused to, and I just was flabbergasted. I couldn't understand, it's going to make her want to get out there and do it. She's already doing it. She was pregnant before.
Wow. Pionki, your mic is up.
Hello,
how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Enjoying the conversation.
I just don't know how we change it.
What's your take on this whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't speak. You know, I heard about that whole idea of giving children apartments on another show. And I heard another lady call in. and she made mention that in public schools, that's the daughter. Well, if your underage daughter has a pregnancy test, you, the parent, are not privileged to the results of that test unless the daughter wants you to be able to find out.
That's true.
That is totally crazy.
That's true, too.
That's
what we're trying to say.
That's what they're
doing. How you gonna have it to where you can get my baby can go and get a day after abortion pill at whatever age, no matter what, as long as she can pay for it. But you can't give her two aspirin in the school system without my permission.
Well, that underscores the very sage observation that's been made by one and many, that liberalism isn't a political perspective, it's a mental disorder.
So why 98% of African Americans voting in the liberal think tank?
Because they think they're their friends.
Who told them that?
Well, LBJ.
No.
Among other people.
I mean some of the brightest people I know, they're a whole lot brighter than me.
Don't sell yourself short, number one. Number two, if they were really that bright, they really wouldn't march in lockstep with this craziness.
98% of them? Do you know they all are in love with Obama?
Only because of his color. Only because of the novelty of it, that's all.
Well, when do you fall out of love? What does he have to do? Let me ask you this. Battered wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, Michelle, a white woman, trust me, they'll fall away.
He ain't that dumb. What do I have?
Or masculine, for that matter. Go ahead.
What do we have to do to learn that before, in the next 3 years, is it 3 years or two now?
Unfortunately, it's three.
What do we have to do to learn that the brother in the White House is trying to kill you?
I just put on there that he's going to give the internet away, and one of my friends said, "Oh, that's a great thing. Kudos to Obama." And so I didn't call him any names.
I said,
tell me why this is such a great thing. And then he doesn't respond. I'm sick of
somebody just put it on our post said, what did he say? He said it's battered black syndrome.
Good observation.
That is really why black people still are victims in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you tie that elephant to the post for so long, no matter when you let him loose, he's not going to leave the post because he thinks he's still tied. And so that's what you have, is black folks are elephants in America.
So when
afraid to leave the Democrat plantation and live on their own.
Okay. So my question to you is, Jeff, when do I find out that Massa no longer loves me?
When you're on your way into the railroad cars to Dachau in America.
I'm pretty sure people that you are describing, if they felt that there was a better option, that they would not walk in whatever you want to call it. But
you are correct.
They don't even listen to an option.
The issue is there is a better option. There has been a better option for many years, except they've got too much, well, the best way I can put it is they want to take the path of least resistance. I'm not just going to come out and say that they're being lazy. I'll just say they want to take the path of least resistance. I want to do as least as possible to get the most benefit that I can. And in this case, I can sit at home, don't have to get an education, and I got a safety net. And that's the problem.
What do you do about, what about the majority of African Americans who are working and still vote Democrat?
It's not even about voting Democrat. Vote your interest.
That's what you're doing.
They're voting in lockstep. They're not voting their interest because they're not even finding out who people are. When you go down the street and ask people who is the Speaker of the House,
they
tell
no
you
idea.
Nancy Pelosi.
No, they won't tell you Nancy Pelosi.
Don't ask who the Speaker of the House is. I'll be speaking when in my house whenever I be wanting to.
Ooh, you might get that too.
They don't even know who the Speaker is. They don't know who the Vice President is. They don't know who. They don't know anything about the Supreme Court. They don't know anything about anything. They can't even. They barely can tell you the name of the mayor of their own city.
You'd be surprised how that type of ignorance transcends color lines.
Hey, Diva.
But they ain't dying.
Right. There's a big difference.
They're not dying.
And they're not and they're not promised by their pastors crumbs to be thrown to them every election time. Okay. You have to understand, black people are used for their votes in America by the Democrat Party. They don't get anything for it. They're not getting anything now. Why you think Michael Eric Dyson just made the comment, Obama's not Moses, he's the Pharaoh. Quit looking to him to deliver you. Which I was shocked that Eric Dyson said that, because he's been everything else. He's been such an apologist for Obama all this time.
I told you what's wrong.
Yeah.
You don't listen to me.
Yeah,
what's wrong? I missed that.
His ox got gored somewhere.
Somebody didn't give him what he wanted.
Yeah, somebody gored his ox, obviously.
Because he was in love, enamored, got to have him when he was on CNN.
Yeah.
And then he made a tweet about somebody, and then next thing we knew, he was jobless.
Yeah.
They need to call up Arsenio Hall and tell him. Need a lesson.
That'll call Vanna and buy a valve.
He need to go call up Donald Trump and see if Donald Trump can help you get a job back.
Yeah, we use Democrats. That's why we vote. I'll tell another guy, just a guy that's really well off too. Okay, now black man. I said, Doc, tell me why one black man in Mahoning County or in the state of Ohio has never been elected to statewide or county high office here as a Democrat. Get out of here with that BS, Jeff. Get out of here. I said,
Name one.
He said, you're right. But, and he still wanted to go with the Democrat. I said, well, go ahead, go. That's your good thing.
Mm.
And it's okay. I'm saying this. Now, even if this, I'll take a big thing. Forget about both parties. Give me 100 men out of this area that'll stand on our own and make sure we talk to these parties and tell them we want X, Y, and Z. And we're not going to quit till we get X, Y, and Z. And we're going to vote you in if you promise us that. And if you don't deliver, we're going to vote you out. I'll go with you.
Let me say this.
I'll go with you.
Somebody just put in the reason why that no one does, the Republicans don't do anything. I think people need to understand, you need to listen to what they have to offer and then go tell them what you want. Our problem is we don't listen to anyone, and then we don't know what we want. And it's kind of hard if somebody comes to you and says, well, what do you want? You say, and the people that, well, they don't know what they want. You know, I'm really upset with the Youngstown City School District, because the governor has opened up his arms to help fix the school district, and no one will take a meeting to meet with him to tell him what they need to fix it, and that they're playing politics with the education of the kids at Youngstown City School District. That's just really sad.
Yep.
You don't have to like the man to get what you want from him.
No.
It's beyond immoral.
I mean, folks sleep with people every night that they don't like.
Just because he's GOP.
It's the truth.
And the thing is
boy,
they have
never got married.
They have no idea what the GOP is. And
my
and
mother always
is,
taught us, never cut your nose off to spite your face.
But that's what you do every time you vote Democrat.
No, I don't, because I
and
know
that,
what I'm voting for.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do, and I know why
Diva,
I vote.
You know what, Diva? If you
never.
If you really knew about some of the things you say,
it amazes me how
that,
someone really tries to tell me about me.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm looking at what you, Diva, I'm
me,
looking at what
really.
You say. I'm looking at things that you say versus
all right,
your. Yeah, but do you understand that the people that know this show and know this know that you're conflicted, And they all say,
what other people,
I don't care what other people say or think about me.
I really don't care.
Well, yeah, I got 5 minutes to go. And I want to, hold on. There's a reason why I want to stop here. I've got to go, and I've got to tear up some stuff. But we need to reevaluate what we do and how we do what we do, and we need to go and tell it. We need to quit hiding our poverty, hiding our sins. We need to take ownership of what we've done and man up. I think I heard somebody earlier saying that we need to man up. Women need to woman up or man up. We need to, I'm using this in a gender neutral, we need to man up and be honest and take back our community, take back our education system, and start becoming educated voters. You don't vote for a person because they're Republican or because they're Democrat. You vote for the person because they're going to do what you want. Diva, you too.
And what you need.
And I know it may speak to your interest, but if it speaks to your core and something is wrong, then you need to speak up. Because Obamacare is going to come back and hurt you before it hurts him. There's a reason why Congress has opted out of it. There's a reason why all these things are they put in pension programs, but they're opted out of it. Why would they opt out of something that's supposed to be so great? You know, right now, President Obama's getting ready to stop collecting metadata and phone calls on everyone. Why would he let it happen in the first place? And what's changing his mind now? He's known it since he got there. What's going on now? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, what happened? When did this epiphany happen that all of a sudden, because Barbara Boxer found out they were actually spying on her too? That's where the question comes in. That's the questions we should be asking. And we're not asking those questions. Tomorrow, Sticks and I will be here. And tomorrow I have a Navy SEAL that's going to come on.
Wow.
And he's going to be talking about some things that deals with the capture of Osama bin Laden. He's going to be talking about some things that, you know, I've never talked to a Navy SEAL one-on-one. I'm going to talk to him about training. I'm going to talk to him about what he thinks and talk to him about where he's going. And so he is an ex-Navy SEAL, and he's going to be on with us tomorrow. And so he's from the Montrose Auto Group. So I'm excited to hear from him.
Well, I can warn you, after he get off your program, don't ride in his car with him.
What'd you say? What'd you say, Pionki?
I say after he gets done with your program, at the end of the show, do not ride in his car with him.
Why not?
Because Navy SEALs have a way of disappearing. Like
yeah,
SEAL
they do
team.
In America, don't they? Why they disappear? It's like is that B-316? What's it called? B on Scandal.
B-613.
What is it, Diva?
613.
Yeah. Are the Navy SEALs equivalent to B-316?
No.
You sure?
Mm-mm.
Totally different.
Well, he said they disappear.
They become mercenaries and fight in other people's wars for hire.
Isn't that what they do on BC-316 on the Scandal?
No. They're owned by B-613 to do dirty work in politics.
And the Blackhawks, was the black suits over in Afghanistan don't do that?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
All right, I got to go. I'll be right back. I'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless and have a good day.
Stanley, if you're there, it's called Hidden Money Secrets.
Yeah, I'm here. What is it called?
Hidden Money Secrets, and it's by a guy named Mike Maloney.
Okay,
and it's up on YouTube.
Just...
He's got a series of like six or
seven. Okay, Hidden Money
Secrets.
Okay, let me just do that. Hidden Money.
Oh, my gosh, this is so funny.
What's funny, sweetheart?
On Scandal, they have a gay guy playing
don't
Drake.
Call
what's
it
his
sweetheart.
Name?
What's his name? Mike what?
Mike Maloney.
Mike
it's called Hidden Money Secrets. There's a whole series.
You don't want to be calling her sweetheart.
Why?
Brings you bad luck.
Does it? I'm already blind. What else could happen?
Be speechless.
Is it the guy with why gold and silver and things like that?
Yeah, and he talks about the history of empire and how the currencies of the world have collapsed over 400 times over the last couple of thousand years and how coins began to get minted and just, you know, 5,000.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the person that's in the Robert Kiyosaki group.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's part of his group in Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah,
I recognize. Yeah. Okay, I'll look at this.
Yeah, and he teaches one thing that I teach everybody. Get the hell out of debt. Whatever you got to do, buckle down and don't owe anybody anything because money is cyclical and collapses come, and you just don't want a collapse coming in your lifetime because you'll spend the rest of your life trying to get even again if you're in debt going into it.
What do you think about the Bitcoin? What happened with this?
Bitcoin, they thought it was so safe, and it wasn't. And it's funny because they had won all their legitimacy battles. State governments were taking it in payment for property tax and stuff. And the United States Congress passed that digital fiat e-currencies were every bit legal because they were backed by something. And it's almost the United States couldn't say anything bad about Bitcoin since it was backed by the U.S. dollar.
Okay.
They created their own catch-22. But apparently somebody over in the Far East ran off with $400 million worth of Bitcoin and breached the system. So I have no idea what they're doing. And one of the Asian Bitcoin web servers filed for bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, so shy.
And I don't know. But, you know, here's the deal on all this, Stanley, as an entrepreneur. Sooner or later, somebody's going to figure out what went wrong with it, and they'll come up with a better version of it. Sooner or later, these fiat digital currencies are going to be the way the world is, and there are some gold currencies. There are some international gold currencies now that are actual gold. They actually have a holographic registry built into like a credit card-looking device that inside of it actually has a quantity of verifiable registered gold and as small as 1 gram, and they are actual currencies. And in this spring, I'm noticing that I do some merchant services and stuff, and I noticed that we've got a change coming up in the industry. You'll go to spend money at a store, at a brick-and-mortar store, and you will be given the option. Do you want to pay with it in the currency of your nation, you know, wherever you're standing, or do you want to pay it out of your digital gold account where you have some of these virtual gold international money certificates? You can either have those in your pocket or you could keep them in a vault and they're in your digital account. And this is a private movement. This started in Germany about 4 years ago. I actually have some of it here with me. It's the equivalent right now at the current price of gold. It's probably the equivalent of carrying a $44 bill in your pocket.
Wow.
Which today, 50s are the new 20s because you can't hardly buy anything with 20 today. So most people are breaking 50s to do most of their cash shopping.
Yeah. The whole thing, I'm just, like I said, when I saw that show about debt and money,
mm-hmm.
Fractionary reserve shocked the hell out of me. I wish I had that power.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I know they took the bank, were taking the money to invest it, but it's beyond this. It's criminal. In my eyes, it goes like, how could you justify I have $1,000? No, it's not $1,000. It's $90,000. How the hell do you justify that as a bank?
$9,000.
$9,000. Sorry, $9,000. How the hell do you justify that as a bank? How?
Fortunately, I'm not running a bank today, so I don't have to justify it. I'm just aware that it is.
I just
I won't play their game.
Stanley.
Yeah. Believe it or not, as rigged as Wall Street is in the stock market, it's probably the easiest way for the little guy who only has $20 to participate in the rigged game, because the Fed is pumping in all this debt from our $17 trillion. They're pumping in $85 billion a month, and banks can now invest with that money rather than lend it. What do you think is driving the stock market? So the little guy gets to compete in the rigged game too. You know, go buy a share of Ford stock for $15, $17. You could have bought Ford stock for $1 a share back in 2008.
Sure, sure. That's when they should have bought it.
Yeah, and look at where the market is today. As rigged as the market is, the little guy, by investing in the market and letting the pros handle the money, and the only pros I sanction in the market for the average person, unless you got an awful lot of knowledge and own a seat on a trading platform somewhere, is probably just mutual funds. And the best way to pick a mutual fund, there's a publication called Morningstar. It rates them. You can be a member for like $190 a year, and you can actually work on their online tools, and you could pick the top 15% of performing mutual funds that have the highest returns above the S&P averages and the averages and everything else. You could pick them and put your money there, just understanding that this is not, you don't trade in and trade out. You do dollar cost averaging, and it's for the long haul. And it's the best way for the little guy who has just a little bit of money to save through his working career to end up being retiring as a millionaire is in mutual funds in the stock market. It'll work for more people than it won't, and it works for more people than people who go the other way and think they can time the market and guess about things and pick a hot stock. Yeah, you hear those stories. You know, the guy that happened to buy UPS and, you know, bought some shares of UPS because he won a lottery ticket back in 1952, and today he's worth $100 million. Well, those stories are far and few between. But mutual funds since 1924, if you overlay 36 years anywhere from 1924 to today, if you overlay a 36-year work career, you will find that you'll always come out ahead because the market goes up, the market goes down. Just don't be in a position to have to sell when the market is down. It's that simple. You know, it's like you wouldn't want to sell your house when, you know, when Hurricane Sandy just came through and all the houses on the street are worth nothing. You know, that's the wrong time to sell your house. You know, you wait until they at least clean up the debris, and that's what's going on. But yeah, there's just, you know, you can't beat them at their game. So the best thing to do, you can't join them either because they don't let you in the club all the way. But the best thing to do is try to stay out from under their wheels. And being out of debt is a good way to stay out from under their wheels. And it's insidious, the way they get kids in college hooked on credit cards and all that stuff. I mean, they're even marketing now credit cards with Barney the Dinosaur on them to 8-year-old children as playthings so that they get used to when they're out playing with each other. They get used to pulling out a credit card and pretending they're an adult with a credit card. So are you a devotee, Stanley, of Robert Kiyosaki?
Oh, I've invested in stocks and things like that, but I've been a little bit disappointed. But I'm looking at all those things and everything.
Yeah.
Mutual funds I have invested was okay.
Yeah. You got to know how to pick them, and the best way to pick them is there's certain rules. And it's like the problem that people make with mutual funds is understanding which one is the right one for you. But if you're still young and you're going to not retire for at least 10 years, you need to be in a high-growth, highly volatile mutual fund. The bond funds and all are too conservative. You don't want your money – when you've got time on your side, you don't want to be in anything conservative because for the very fact that the dollar today – I mean – you know, because of inflation, you know, what you could have bought with $35 back in 1940, you can't buy today with $1,500, you know. And that's why you want to be in those growth mutual funds, because then it keeps your money at least relative to the rest of the economy, because they go up in value. Because, you see, inflation is your friend in that type of a fund, because the value of a company. Well, what determines what a company's stock is worth? Well, it's their profits, and their profits go up with inflation because they start charging more for their goods and services. Also, the buildings that they own and the equipment they own, which is also part of the value of the stock, go up. The building that General Motors built for $1 million 40 years ago, they can't build today for $100 million. Well, all of a sudden, the stock now in their balance sheet, they show the building's worth $100 million. Their stock goes up. You know, your share of stock is worth more. So when you're invested in those kind of mutual funds with professional management, you know, and there's a few other things. Dave Ramsey, the financial guru who believes people should be out of debt, he teaches Financial Freedom University. He's got a lot of stuff for free on his website, Stanley. And I like the training he does. I used to be securities licensed at one time and many years ago. And he does a great, great 45-minute training explaining to the average person what all the big words are that the pros want to throw around to impress you, why you need to pay them their commission. Okay? And he really is out for the little guy. So I like his stuff, you know. And he is totally invested in nothing but mutual funds. And at one time, he was bankrupt as a young man, and he fought his way back to financial solvency, and because you know, just a lot of stuff. He's a good guru to follow because his principles are simple, and they do work. And he's helped almost, I think it's the last auditing they had, he's helped something like 5 million Americans get out of debt in the last 20 years. So he's a good guy. He's one of those. You know, he doesn't have a dog in the fight. He doesn't try to sell you stuff when he's teaching you stuff. That's one of my flags. When you go to a website and, you know, they promised you a lot, and for the first 90 minutes you're there, they keep trying to sell you stuff, and they're not giving you what they promised you could find on their website. I usually tend to avoid those kind of places. They're just marketing ploys, you know? So...
Thanks for any information. I have to go.
You're entirely welcome, Stanley. Yeah, I got to run, too. I got to figure out what's going on here. It's time to go back to rule the kingdom. It's good to be king. Bianchi, take care. Diva, take care, honey. And I'll run the risk of calling you kind words. Call me Danger Man. Bye-bye.
Stanley, you read that book? Stanley. Oh, my goodness. Don't leave me in Diva.
You're there. I'm sorry. I didn't hang up fast enough. Bianchi, you okay?
I was trying to catch up with Stanley.
No, he said he had a run. He hung up.
Oh.
He no sooner got the sentence out, he hung up. I dropped a bag of beef jerky on the floor. That's why I didn't hang up so fast. I had to pick it up first, and then I stood up, and I heard you talking still. So, are you working now? Are you? You're retired from steel, right?
Yes.
Are you doing anything, you know, on a daily basis? Have you picked another career, or are you just kind of taking every day one day at a time, or?
No, I coach baseball.
Cool. Cool. We're coming into your season.
Since my grandson trained him, that's a full-time job.
That's cool that you get to do that. Yeah, I know people that are blessed to be able to do that. You know? It's fun. It's fun watching the kids, especially the ones that develop some heart for a game. It's just, like, really cool. It's like watching miniature pros on the field, you know?
Yeah. I was at a facility yesterday. Then I'm going to let him spend some time in. There's a lot of little kids, young people there that was looked like they've been working pretty hard at what they was demonstrating to me.
Yeah. I knew this single mom had two boys, and she had them in baseball, and she invited me one time to go to one of the games. And I was amazed the way she was coaching her kids, and her kids were just, like, so far beyond the other kids on the field at 8 and 10 years old. I mean, my God, it was just like, you know, I mean, balls hit out to the field and her son is charging and running toward it, and, you know, instead of waiting for it to come to him and, you know, and throwing it while on the run and, you know, all that stuff that you would expect pros to do, you know, guys with million-dollar contracts. And these are just little kids. Now, where the heck did they develop that kind of skill or even to think a game through like that? And just their instincts of where to be based upon who's up at bat and what the other team is, you know, what their lineup is like. These kids, it's just amazing. It's just, they just have this repertoire of, it's almost like a ballet. They got all these moves in their head that they know where to be when what the play is. You know, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. I was never that athletic, obviously, being blind. You know, I did play right field, but that was only because nobody could hit out there. So we were little. And the one day a ball came out there and hit me in the glove. I didn't see it coming. A line drive. And I dropped it, of course, and they booed me off the field, and that ended my baseball career. But I tried it. Well, let me go back to ruling the kingdom. Take care, Bianca.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Stay well.